more, and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
Fire truck.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, dreamers of dreams, losers, haters, conservatives, progressives, liberals. I don't know, Mark Riley. How are you Tuesday?
All right, I'm doing okay, Mark Maron.
Long weekend. How was it?
It was wonderful.
Ah.
It was wonderful.
Yeah?
Went to Seattle. See, you went,
I went to Seattle. You were
I went to Scranton, Pennsylvania. No,
Scranton.
The garden spot of northeast Pennsylvania.
What a scrappy name. Scranton, yeah, for some reason, that's one of those cities with a reputation based on its crappy name.
Yeah.
Scranton.
Well, yeah, and you know, the, Scranton was one of those big coal mines.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Is it a nice place, though? You had a good time?
Yeah, I had a good time. I mean, I was there for drum corps, so I always had. You know, we were on in two new stations.
Yeah.
One in Columbus, Ohio. One in Madison, Wisconsin.
Good morning, Wisconsin!
That's right. Both great drum corps cities.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Someone's got to make a documentary about this.
Like, that's right.
Name this tune.
Oh, not the long drum roll. Not that, please, not that.
No, we got to do a documentary on this drum roll, this weird fetishistic
thing that
weird
I did.
Obsession,
yes.
You have with the drum corps.
I stayed in a hotel,
yeah,
where when I looked out the window, I could see the hotel where George W. Bush stayed the night he left the Republican convention here in New York and stayed in Wilkes-Barre.
Right.
And then he gave a speech the next morning.
Right.
You know, he was yelling.
And not to mention names or bring up any sort of anything other than you were hanging out with a guy that was standing on that balcony and said, we could have taken him out from here.
Yeah,
we could have taken him out from here.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not saying he's a friend, but he was a guy in the group. Good morning to everybody. So I was in Seattle, Riley, and I did a bunch of shows. Some people came down from Portland to see me perform in Seattle.
Yeah.
That was very nice. It's weird when I go to a city that doesn't have Air America and they bring me on from Air America. There's like three people. They're like, yay, Air America. And 300 people are going, what the hell? How come we don't? I don't
Air
know
who?
What that is. Yeah, exactly. But the shows were great. Had a good time up there. My wife was up there. She did some comedy out at the local clubs. Chuck D was up there.
Chuck D was up there. You made it to Pike? Pike Street Market?
I did go to the Pike Street Market. I didn't see Chuck D. It was weird because I see Chuck D almost every day because he comes in after me. But then
yeah,
I'm up in Seattle. I see Public Enemies playing. I'm like, am I going to call Chuck D and be like, hey, what's up, man? Remember, we're on the same
network. We work together.
Can I come meet Flav? You know.
You could have.
No, I know. I was busy with my wife, you know, trying to get in a week's or two's worth of...
Well, her people are from up there, right?
I went to my in-laws' house, both sides of the in-laws. Very interesting. It's always interesting going to the two separate sides of the in-laws.
Oh yeah,
because her mom is like this sort of gardening kind of like, you know, she's, you know, grows vegetables and has compost and very organically oriented. And she's kind of not married but living with a guy for many years. This is a Jewish dude. They both sort of work for the Seattle Transit Authority. One of them.
Oh, that must be a cool gig.
Her mom's like drives a big old bus, man.
Oh,
she's,
man,
like, you know, like a professional driver.
Wait a minute, is that the one with the big racks in the front where they put bicycles and stuff?
Yeah.
That was the first place I saw that was in Seattle where you could put like 10,000 bicycles in the front of the bus.
Yeah. And he drives her stepdad or her, you know, her mom's man. He drives a trolley. So they're, you know, they're just groovy people. And her dad lives on the other side of town. And he lives in the hood, basically.
Okay.
And and he's got the whole other life going. He's married to a black woman who's got, you know, they've got the black Jesus on the wall. You know,
oh, okay.
The picture
kind
of
Afrocentric.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
Kente cloth, plenty of Kente cloth.
Yeah. And we had big breakfast over there. He cooked up some greens and some bacon and some cornbread and the whole business.
Smoked, no short ribs, though.
No short ribs for breakfast, no. Cooked up, smoked some cigars. I watched him play dominoes with his buddy. I don't know how to play dominoes. I just sat there and smoked a cigar.
You get addicted to it. Believe me, once you learn.
It looks addicting. They were having a great time yelling at each other.
Yeah. And they slammed the dominoes down on the table.
Oh, yeah. This guy was playing with Haywood, got all pissed off. Throwing stuff around. And then I call my mother. My mother's down in Florida. I hope everybody got through the hurricane as well as possible. I call my mother. Yeah, she was doing. She goes, well, I went running. Like, it was the first day of the hurricane. She's like, it was raining, but I went running. I was able to run for a couple miles. And then the next day, when it was really coming down, she's like, I tried to run, but I couldn't. I got hit in the head with a car. And apparently, Jazz Guy, her boyfriend, was running around the house like, do not dig this groove, man. Do not dig it, scooby bop bop boop bop. Hey, man, what's that sound? It's unsyncopated. I don't like this type of improvisational God jazz. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like this type of God music, man. There's stuff coming down on the house. I'm talking like a black dude, but the guy's just a Jewish guy. Who thinks he's a black dude, I guess, is what the deal is.
He listens to Charlie Parker.
He loves Charlie Parker. He likes the melodies. He likes the rhythm. So let's try and cover a little bit of news as best we can in terms of knowing what we know about this Russian tragedy, this terrorist event.
That is more than just a tragedy. I mean,
it's horrible.
At a point, people in this world are going to have, the world leaders that we have, these people who call themselves leaders, need to stand up and say that when you kill children like this, or when, as happened in Rwanda, for example, you use children as soldiers to kill other children, that kind of behavior means you cannot join the existing community of civilized nations. You can't get away with this sort of thing. Somehow, somewhere, and I'm not just talking about George W. Bush, because this isn't partisan.
Yeah.
The bottom line here is these people used and abused and violated children.
Yeah.
And you've got to stand up, somebody's got to stand up and say that your cause, which I assume is Chechenian independence
of some sort,
of some sort or another, cannot go forward when you commit these kinds of acts.
There was and there was some speculation, I guess, reading some of these reports, that some of the cats who were involved in the takeover, these terrorists who took over the school, did not realize that they were going to be using children as pawns and were against it, and they were killed by the guys that they were with.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of stories coming out about it. Remember now, this is a wave of violence that's taking place in Russia over a two-week period. You had a suicide bombing in Moscow that killed 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
The two planes crashing that they now say had some connection to terrorism. That killed 90 people.
You would hope so, in the negative way, that you have two planes crash. It blew up. I mean, of course it's terrorism. I don't even know what anyone was thinking not.
Well, this school situation now killed 335 people, plus 30 attackers, 156 children killed, 411 people hospitalized. Of them, 214 children, another 100 people not accounted for. Mm-hmm. This kind of violence cannot stand. Now, there's a lot of speculation. The Russian government's coming in for criticism in terms of the way they handled and responded to the attack in the first place. There was some reports coming out of Russia that there were Arabs involved. Other eyewitnesses say they saw no Arabs involved. There's the whole school of thought that says the leader of Russia, Putin, is trying to bring this whole thing to a world stage by making it some kind of an international terrorist plot as opposed to a domestic terrorist plot.
Well, the interesting thing after reading Peter Bergen's book, and I just want to clear up something I said moments ago. I wasn't saying that you would hope that they were terrorist acts because I'm into terrorism. I'm just saying that if two planes go down within a few days of each other, if it's not terrorism, something needs to be reassessed in the aviation.
Well, within a few minutes.
Yeah, me it was clear right away that it was terrorism. That's
absolutely
what I was saying. But the thing about the international terrorist element is that if I'm to understand Peter Bergen's reporting in like Terror Incorporated, is that the original Arabs that came together to fight the Russians in Afghanistan during the first George Bush administration,
the Mujahideen,
that they have sort of grown united, and they are part and connected with Al-Qaeda, and they also, any opportunity to fight with a Muslim insurgency, if they see any opportunity to lead or be part of that, many of them will go. It is a very, it's a collective effort on behalf of what they call these Afghani Arabs who get involved in either planning or strategizing or just fighting with any Muslim cause, certainly against Russians. I mean, they were willing to fight alongside Americans given the opportunity to fight Russians back then. So I think that on the international level, it's safe to assume on some level that Putin is telling the truth, that these guys are probably aligned with some international terrorist organizations.
Well, see, that may be very true. It probably is.
Yeah.
But then you also have, complicating the situation, the various ethnic rivalries in that region, the Caucasus region.
Right, sure.
Where you have all of these different groups, and there's some groups now that are vowing retribution because they feel that a different group was involved in the siege at the school. There is that dynamic to it also, which really complicates a response.
There might be another war. This is obviously an ongoing conflict,
yes.
But Putin was actually talking war talk.
Yeah.
He was actually saying that we might have another civil war to fight for, you know, these territories.
One thing you got to ask yourself, are people prepared to reward this kind of activity by granting the Chechens what they seek, which is, if not a totally autonomous state, but certainly a semi-autonomous one?
And also, this also goes to show on some levels that, you know, that becomes an issue of what, is it terrorism? Is terror being used as a mode in a war that's been ongoing, you know, for national purposes?
Yeah.
And also the question is according to Bush, global terrorism has significantly improved, which, you know, all numbers indicate that is not true. Certainly, we have not had a terrorist act in this country, but clearly the planet is not a safer place since 9/11. And if we are going to link this activity in Russia with global terrorism, mm-hmm. you know, i.e. Al-Qaeda or just the free-floating terrorism, then it clearly is worse.
And see, now there are questions, people, experts here, because remember that today, as we speak, many school children, certainly on the East Coast, are going back to school for the first time. And the security experts are now starting to ask whether that kind of terrorist attack could take place in American schools. Could American children be visited with that kind of violence as well? And a lot of these experts are saying, you know, the schools are you know, rushing to get these test scores up, and that they really haven't paid that close attention to school safety and school security.
Outside of the reactions that were initially, some of the security implementations that were put in after Columbine. And after, you know, the fear wasn't from an outside group. It was from, you know, a couple of inside loners.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I mean, it is a different threat. But, you know, we have a guest coming on in the next segment. Matt Brzezinski is the author of Fortress America, and he's going to talk directly to some of those questions about, yeah. you know, homeland security, school security, and in what security has actually happened and is successful since 9/11.
All
so
right.
We'll deal with him after this on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com, where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
This is Sirius Satellite Radio.
Hi, can you tell me which NFL games you're carrying this week?
We carry every single game, sir.
No, I'm serious. Which games do you carry?
No, we're serious, and we carry every NFL game every week.
Patriots?
You got it.
The Giants?
You're covered.
And Dallas?
Absolutely.
This is so cool.
The regular season's on. Every NFL game, every week, everywhere. Exclusively on Sirius NFL Radio. For a full game broadcast schedule, go to Sirius.com.
Your voice sounds familiar.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst.
I was running a career center, and what we were teaching was, if you figure out who you are, what your core skills, your core interest areas, and your core value systems are, you can then match them up with jobs, careers, and organizations, and in fact, the life you live. So the climb kind of crystallized these issues, and from that point on, I've been wandering around the world, giving speeches and writing books to say to people, if you're not feeling good in your job, if you don't feel good about the life you're leading, about a relationship you've got, start with yourself. Figure out who you are. What's at the very core of you? Core skills and core interest areas and core value systems. And if they don't match up with the things that are causing you discontent, you've got to stop the world for a little while and go and look and see where there is a good match for it.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kix Brooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for Rad. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in don't drive drunk.
Yep, and I got a three-letter word for you, as in get. Get the key.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the key.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Fire truck! We're back! It's Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Air America Radio. We're very excited to have the author of Fortress America in the studio with us. He is on the front lines of Homeland Security, an inside look at the coming surveillance state. Matthew Brzezinski is with us. He's a contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine. So, Matthew, how safe are we in what is a surveillance state?
How safe are we? It's a good question. I think we're certainly not as safe as we could be.
Yeah.
And I think that the main issue right now with the elections coming up is precisely, you know, what have we done in the past 3 years? And, you know, what needs to be done?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this has become a bit of a political football. It sort of seems that, you know, who's got the bigger Homeland Security platform is the way things are going right now. We're not that safe.
Right.
And we're, you know, we've got a hell of a lot more people around the world that, you know, wish to do us harm than we did before 9/11 because of our misadventures in Iraq. And the whole Iraq fiasco has just drained incredible amounts of money from the Treasury and the budget, and it's left precious little in the kitty for us to secure ourselves here at home.
But wasn't some of that money kind of, isn't it come under question about how that Homeland Security money is allocated and into what cities and why? Because they're doing it per person, per capita, a number of people per state, and some places that are not, don't seem to be that high of a security risk have millions and millions of dollars.
Sure. I mean, you get places like, you know, Juneau, Alaska, getting as much money as New York City or Washington.
And that's insane.
It's idiocy, yes. But it's all about how the process works in Washington.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to alienate the good senator from Alaska.
So they're choosing politics over security in a lot of ways.
Special interests. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
You know, we right after 9/11, you know, we saw that one of the big vulnerabilities here is heavy industry, particularly the chemical industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got, 15,000 plants, according to the EPA, around the country that produce laundry list of really nasty stuff, ammonia, chlorines, pesticides, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody was worried, my God, we're going to have, a Bhopal, an American Bhopal.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in 1984, you know,
sure,
carbide, the pesticide plant that blew up and killed, 6,000 people right off the bat and then blinded 10,000 others, et cetera.
Mm. In India.
This was in India in 84. So, you know, our plants are completely, undefended.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's often not even a chain link fence. And, they did this test, and it's estimated that, you know, that one tanker trailer which contains 33,000 gallons of ammonia can kill 100,000 people. Now we've got 111 plants that are located within a mile of a million plus population.
Mm.
So, you know, you've got kind of you can have sort of a Chernobyl like industrial accident where this toxic cloud will drift over all these people. So there's a big push right after 9/11. Hey, let's shore up security in these places, you know, regulate it. To make a long story short, the American Petroleum Institute, which is the lobby arm of all the oil companies, gets in the act and says, absolutely no way. The Republicans pull out, the White House interest in.
So it's a cost issue in terms of oil refineries that are located.
The oil companies didn't want to spend the money, the net result is 3 years later we have absolutely no security at any of our chemical plants, and this is insane. I went to Israel as part of the research for the book, and I actually tried to get close to one of their natural gas reservoirs. They have underground sensors. They have infrared cameras. I mean, the thing, it literally looks like with guard towers in a fortress. I mean, and I just pulled off the road with the car, and from some underground speaker somewhere, I don't know where, suddenly there was this voice that came and said, Peugeot, and they read the license plate of the Peugeot that I had rented, mm-hmm. Move on. I mean, you can't even get close to these things.
Wow.
I mean, they realize the repercussions if one of these things goes off. And you know, we seem to, have put special interests over security on this matter.
Hmm. Our guest is Matthew Brzezinski. He's author of Fortress America on the Front Lines of Homeland Security, an inside look at the coming surveillance state. Matthew, are people who want to, you mentioned earlier people wanting to do the United States harm. Are these people constantly probing this country for weakness in our internal security? Has it come to that at this point? Are there people who are, in fact, surveilling our situation?
There's no doubt that they're always probing, and they're always looking for weaknesses. Do I know what sleeper cells Al-Qaeda may have here? No, none of us really do. So, I can't answer that question. But,
No.
But clearly, just as we see our own weaknesses and see areas where we have not done enough to shore up security, those become very apparent to them. I mean, look, terrorists, the way it was explained to me by Israeli security specialists is that, the terrorists very much just like your average crook.
Right.
He's going down the street and he sees, 10 row houses.
Right.
8 of them have alarm systems, bars in their windows, a dog barking. Well, they're going to look at, the 2 that don't.
Right.
And, and the thing is that we, whereas we've, in this country, we've done a tremendous job at basically protecting ourselves from crime. If you look at, how many people do have alarm systems, things live in gated communities, things like that.
Right.
We haven't done very much to protect ourselves from terrorists. So, the terrorists, we'll just basically see, hey, look, this is undefended, that's undefended, let's start looking at this and that. And that's just the way it works.
It's unbelievable, though. There's some sense that these corporations and these people that aren't willing to spend more money to secure things, and the government obviously is going to pander to them on that level because they want their lobbying. So it's just this sort of the ends justifies the means. They don't care, it's weird to me that they're willing to take that risk. That they're willing to hedge their bets.
Well, I mean, the way it was explained to me, overall, there was a survey done, and overall corporate security has gone up 4%. Spending has gone up 4% since 9/11. Mind you, of that 4%, 3% is just higher insurance premiums. So really, in effect, it's really 1%. And the way it was explained to me, well, why aren't you guys doing this? Well, I said, well, let's say, I have chemical security plant.
Hold that thought.
We got to finish up on the other side.
Yeah, we'll definitely be right back with more with Matthew Brzezinski, the president's palm pilot, the liberal agenda, and much, much more here on Air America Radio.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first 6 payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still shelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. American forces battled insurgents loyal to Shia Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr in the Baghdad slum of Sadr City. Renewed fighting occurred earlier today, claiming the lives of 34 people, one American soldier, and the injuring of 193. On the other side of the capital, a roadside bomb explosion targeted the Baghdad governor's convoy. Former President Bill Clinton is resting comfortably at a New York City hospital after undergoing heart bypass surgery yesterday. Ex-president will have to take it easy upon his release from the facility later this week, but doctors say Clinton should be back to normal in about 4 to 5 months' time. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry is turning up the heat on President George W. Bush, charging him yesterday with starting a war in Iraq with no plan for peace. Bush returned to fire by saying the war was the right thing to do. Kerry, just the same, said he would bring the American troops home in 4 years' time if he's elected president. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Sirius is giving away a Larson Senza sport boat.
No purchase necessary.
It's awesome!
Must be 18 or older to enter.
Hey, can I sell them?
Valid in the 48 contiguous states.
It even comes with Sirius.
It's online at 11:59 p.m. Eastern.
It's really cool!
On September 30th, 04.
Can I get a word in?
For official rules, see Sirius.com/Larson or select Larson dealer.
Bow, summer, water, fun!
Void or prohibited.
Are you done?
Yes.
Good! Why don't you get out so I can see how fast we're going?
This is Earth and Sky. John Hart is an ecologist at the University of California, Berkeley.
In the mid-1980s, before global warming came to be recognized as fact by most scientists, Dr. Hart wondered how rising temperatures would affect plants.
My idea at that time was, well, the best way to really learn what's going on is to heat up an ecosystem and see what happens. And the work up to that point involving climate manipulation, it was really all done in little growth chambers where you would take a potted plant and subject it to different temperatures. And I wanted to look at whole ecosystem processes on a large scale.
So Hart and his team went to a subalpine meadow in rural Colorado, a place carpeted with flowers each summer. The scientists built towers and strung a cat's cradle of cables between them. Then they hung electric heaters from the cables. In 1990, they flipped a switch and have been heating the meadow ever since.
The aim of the study is to mimic a world that's 2 degrees Celsius warmer than the world we live in. Many climate scientists predict that Earth will warm by at least this much in the next 50 years. Some findings from the first 14 years of Hart's experiment on our next edition of Earth and Sky.
Or for more, you can visit our website at earthsky.org. Our thanks to the National Science Foundation, where discoveries begin. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Yeah. Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
We're back at 33 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Our guest is Matthew Brzezinski. Right now, Ramon just, what's he doing here? And now all of a sudden he's just walking out.
He's everywhere.
I'm starting to doubt his credibility. Here's the presidential palm pilot for today. Here's the president's schedule. 8 o'clock a.m., wake up, stay on message. John Kerry is soft on Hurricane Francis. He would ask Europe what to do about our tropical storms. 10 a.m., call Jerry Lewis, congratulate him on the telethon. Promise $100 million to the MDA if Jerry can deliver the vote from all of Jerry's kids. 11 a.m., get advanced copy of Kitty Kelly's tell-all book about tour about our family. Note, maybe it will explain where I was between 1966 and 72. 12 noon, talk to Jeb about disaster relief for Hurricane Francis. Note, a tax cut for the wealthy and a new missile defense system could have prevented this tragedy. 2 p.m., enjoy post-convention bounce. Note, ask advisors if this means I never have to go to Ohio again. 4 p.m., send get well card to Clinton. Note, and mean it. It would be just like that weasel to ruin it for me with his funeral. 6 p.m., talk to Vladimir Putin about terrorism. Assure him the U.S. does not support Chechen separatists. We've always supported the Chechen togetherists. 9 p.m., bedtime. Think happy thoughts. Headline. Quote, freakish Midwestern hurricane strand swing voters. End quote. Back to the business of national security. You were saying that corporations are not really spending any more money. The insurance rates just went up.
Right. And actually talking about insurance, You know, remember the big smallpox vaccination drive that the president himself got, you know, he went and got the little pinpricks on his arm and got himself vaccinated. And we were supposed to have, as of what, last year, we were supposed to have 500,000 first responders that were going to get, you know, smallpox vaccination. Well, the deadline came and passed, and there was only 33,000 who got them.
Why?
Well, because the White House sided with HMOs and insurance companies, which didn't want to give paid sick leave to first responders that, you know, you get the shots and then you feel like crap for a week.
So that was it? Because a few days, they didn't want to lose money for a few days?
Absolutely. So, you know, I mean, in those few days that we don't want to pay for our own first responders, you know, we'll have spent, you know, whatever.
So this is
$2-3 billion in Iraq.
So this fascinates me, because you're saying that, like, that we can't impose national security standards because so many people want to cut corners. And then there's also the fear on the other side. How much of this stuff has to do with infringing on civil liberties?
Well, that's, you know, right. You hit the nail right on the head. We basically, our security, you know, the job of DHS is really the illusion, to provide the illusion of security.
Not the reality.
Well, no, because that costs money.
Exactly. Just to come out every once in a while and go, hey, remember, be afraid. It's going to get bad. We don't know how, but we'll see you later.
What doesn't cost any money is writing new draconian legislation, which, you know, allows the FBI and the Justice Department to pry into your affairs, to put you on watch lists, and, you know, to basically throw you in jail and deny you due process. That doesn't cost any money.
But see, now, I'm curious about this, because you mentioned being in Israel and stopping somewhere and hearing a voice tell you you have to move on.
Mm-hmm.
What you seem to be saying is that America is nowhere near close to having that kind of sophistication in terms of surveillance. So they're turning to, I guess, the surveillance of individuals?
Our methods are very, very crude. You got to remember, we're like small children, not even teenagers yet, when it comes to experience with terrorism. We had virtually no terrorism in this country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we all infamously remember how, you know, basically the day before 9/11, our Attorney General John Ashcroft chopped the FBI's counter-terror budget. And you know, this was never, you know, when he wrote up his sort of his list of the top seven priorities. And with the subgroups and all that, for the Justice Department, terrorism didn't even figure on that list.
Mm-hmm.
This was not a big deal, you know, for us.
They thought it could never happen here.
Crystal meth was way higher on the agenda for the Justice Department than terrorism.
Well, those guys are always awake and working on
it. But, you know, our learning curve is pretty darn steep.
Yeah.
And, what do we do right after 9/11? We just start rounding people up. Why? Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. You're young and you're a Muslim immigrant.
Right.
That's the criteria, essentially. That is, you know, I spent some time with one of the so-called detainees who was rounded up. Yeah, a very, very nice young guy, and it's absolutely tragic what happened to him and what the government did to him. But, you know, and if you look at the big picture, we rounded up 1,200 people roughly.
Yeah.
How many convictions did we terror convictions did we get out of this?
Two.
And both of those last week were basically overturned, where the Justice Department itself said, hey, it conceded that we withheld evidence that would have exonerated these guys.
And
so, so our batting average is zero for 1,200. And this tells you basically, you know, we cast our net based on certain criteria, which in a country that had a little more experience with terrorism, they would have looked at this and said, are you guys insane? This is so inefficient and ineffective.
But what you're saying, if I can just, you know, kind of corral it all together, is that the reason that we don't do more about Homeland Security is a cost issue. It's a cost for the corporations. It's a cost for the government. The reason that legislation is passed that is, as you say, draconian, is that it's cheaper to round up 1,200 guys and sort through it than it is to actually initiate Homeland Security measures that would protect the country.
It's not only cheaper. I mean, the Justice Department and people in law enforcement for a long time have always wanted, you know, greater powers.
Mm-hmm.
And terrorism is a wonderful, wonderful justification.
That's turf you're talking about.
Well, not only turf, but, you know, we're talking, you know, turf. Actually, it's good you raised that. Maybe we can come back to that in a second. But, you know, they're using a lot of these counterterror laws for criminal investigations as well.
I knew that. I knew that was happening.
It just makes their job easier, that's all.
Right, and they can use it for anything. They can use it for any sort of offense to infringe on our liberties. If it's not terrorism this year, it's going to be porn, it's going to be whatever. They can do whatever they want.
It's the precedent that's set that sort of opens this Pandora's box.
Thanks for joining us. Matthew Brzezinski, the book is Fortress America on the Front Lines of Homeland Security, an inside look at the coming surveillance state. It was great talking to you.
Thank you so much for being here.
If you're listening, you want to give us a call, 866-303-2270 is the number. And you can get Matthew's book on our website at a discount. Again, thanks for coming.
We'll
be back in a second on Air America Radio. Call us here at Morning Sedition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Oh, sorry. That's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
Sirius is giving away a Larson Senza sport boat.
No purchase necessary.
It's awesome.
Must be 18 or older to enter.
Hey, can I sell them?
Valid in the 48 contiguous states.
It even comes with Sirius.
It's online at 11:59 p.m. Eastern.
It's really cool.
On September 30th, 04.
Can I get a word in?
For official rules, see Sirius.com/Larson or select Larson dealer.
Bow, summer, water, fun.
Boy, we're prohibited.
Are you done?
Yes.
Good. Why don't you get out so I can see how fast we're going?
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. Explain how your trek up Mount Everest changed your views about what's important in life and how to focus on getting what you really want.
We watched two guys die, and as we tried to understand why they had died, it became apparent in the first case that one of them had died because he hadn't figured out that his skills were no match for a mountain as big as Everest. He either didn't figure out what his skills were, or he didn't take the time to match them with the climb. And that kind of stuck in our heads as a little bit as a learning we should understand. The second guy died because his values didn't match the needs of Mount Everest. He went on alone. And you can't climb Everest alone. I mean, you get winds of 150 miles an hour, you get temperatures of, minus 60 below. It's impossible to do alone. He went on independently, and he eventually died. So his values didn't match up with the needs of Everest.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Have a good day, dear.
Your mom always told you to take good care of your stuff. And she was right, as usual. It's a fact that regular car maintenance improves gas mileage and performance. Plus, regular maintenance can reduce traffic congestion due to breakdowns and help reduce pollution. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA. Mom would be so proud.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
I don't know.
Peace, love, and fireworks. That's a good one. When we're talking about people losing their lives over maybe starting by popping one pill in or shooting something into your body, it's like people need to know the truth and know what they're getting themselves into. Because your mind is worth so much more than this. Me personally, I want the truth. You know what I mean? I want to know what's going on. This has been Nate Sally with a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
You say your vehicle has airbags, high-impact bumpers, and you always wear your seatbelt. So far, so good. But if you should cut in front of an 18-wheeler on the highway and make that truck jam on his brakes, all of your high-tech safety features just might sound like this. It can take a truck twice as long to stop as a car. For your own safety, give those big rigs a lot of room. Remember, tangle with a truck and you lose. A public service message from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Fire truck! Hey, it's Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Present.
I cannot deal. Sorry, I let one slip out. I just can't. Come on, get with it, man. Get back in it. I cannot deal with the fact that Kerry is slipping behind this many points. I can't, I don't know how to deal with this, Riley, because I'm new to this game. I don't like sports for this reason. I don't like to play, this sort of back and forth, who's winning, who isn't winning. I get mad at Kerry. I get mad at Bush. I get mad at everybody. I want Kerry to be able to create a language for the people to understand that it's about the economy, that it's about domestic issues, that, we got to get past this Vietnam vet stuff. We've got to get him talking in a direction to working people and have them understand that Bush and his comrades are screwing them on an economic level.
Okay, let's look at where we're at. He's had a convention, Bush. He had a successful convention. He got some bounce out of it, okay? At least according to the polls. Fine. Let the bounce be the bounce. Kerry's 11 points down. Now the work begins. Now is the time when you've got to start to make up that ground. Now, there are some people who would, I think, be a little Pollyanna and say, well, I like being the underdog. I don't mind being 10, 11 points down. Bottom line is most people like being 10, 11 points up rather than 10, 11 points down.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I'm tired of hearing is like, yeah, Kerry likes being cornered. He's a big finisher. He's like, you know, this is just what he needs. I've heard this over and over again for months and months and months. The truth of the matter is Bush has lost 1.1 million net jobs since taking office. That puts him on track to be the first president since Hoover to have a net loss of jobs during his presidency. New jobs being created are paying an average of $8,000 a year less than the jobs that were lost. The number of Americans living in poverty increased by 1.3 million last year. There's like 35 million people living below the poverty line. And the truth of the matter is, this is the kind of stuff he's got to be speaking to. And I think he's starting to a little bit, but there's some part of me that's like, you cannot let these Republican idiots, this death cult, they cannot guide the cultural discourse.
Bill Clinton, from his hospital bed, told John Kerry the same thing you just got finished saying, that you have to deal with the economy. You have to deal with the 1.1 million net jobs lost. You have to deal with the fact that there are 35.8 million people living in poverty, that there are 45 million people without health insurance. You've got to keep hammering that the economy is not doing well. Now, some of this, I think, may be stylistic. John Kerry, and we listened to some of the things he was saying earlier today. He doesn't set the world on fire with his oratory. And I think a lot of Americans, certainly a lot of Democrats, are thinking to themselves, you know what, if this was Bill Clinton by now, George Bush would be finished, just like his dad was, essentially. But I don't give up hope. I believe that John Kerry can close this gap if he fights a smart, efficient, tactical fight, which up until now, he has only done sporadically. He's done it a couple of times, but he doesn't do it all the time.
Yeah, I don't believe numbers. I think they're coercive. I think they're manipulative. I don't think they're based in anything, legitimate. I don't understand how anyone can be undecided. I don't know what kind of people would have watched that convention last week and said, I changed my mind, unless they're completely stupid. I don't understand how these people are appealing except to a core group of fanatics, and I understand that because those people are unchangeable. They're conspiracy, mystical thinking freak jobs,
The moderate face that they put on this convention worked. Okay, it worked. It's done now. The convention was last week. Put it aside. Put the swift boat aside. Now let's get involved in the real battle. Make George W. Bush face his own record, not just on Iraq, not just on these kinds of problems that are international in nature. You've got to focus back to people's pocketbooks, because unlike Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council, most Americans care about what's in their wallet. They care a lot more about what's in their wallet than they do about gay marriage, than they do about a lot of these social issues that George Bush has put up.
Most Americans, except for the weird fanatical people that don't even care about the economy to the degree that they're so consumed with moral issues, because this is their last chance to guarantee a place in heaven. You know what I mean? That is about 30% of the Bush base are religious fanatics that only believe in the fact that this guy is going to take them home. And by home, I mean the eternal home.
By the way, I was speaking to someone who shall remain nameless for the purposes of this conversation.
Yeah.
Who really wanted to get, wanted you to get more in depth. We can't do it now, but wanted you to get more in depth with your whole rapture theory.
Oh,
because
yeah.
They really didn't understand. And a lot of it is because they didn't understand the religious basis for it. You know what I'm saying?
Which theory? The one that there are Christian Zionists that are funneling money into Israel to get the Arabs.
That's
out
the
of
one.
The, that's not my theory. That's a reality.
I know, but according to this person, it's your theory because they heard it from you.
Well, that's an interesting one. That there's a large number of evangelical Christians that believe in order for Jesus to return to Earth, the temple must be rebuilt on the Temple Mount, where the Dome of the Rock is,
yes,
in Jerusalem, which is the holiest point in the Jewish religion, and it's very important to these fundamentalist Christians because they don't see any, they can't, Jesus can't come back until that's rebuilt. So they funnel money into Israel in hopes of getting that going, you know, getting the Arabs out of Jerusalem and getting the construction underway. That's a real thing. We've got a call from Laura in the Bronx. Hi, Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
Okay, I love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I don't buy any of this any more than I bought weapons of mass destruction and the correlation between...
You mean the polls?
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
Because if you read Time Newsweek and if you listen to the mainstream corporate media, then you are freaked out over this. If you start reading the sites that told you the truth all along on the web, then you see like the Rasmussen poll saying that the sampling was an error, was rushed, and they got too many Republicans, and that by Sunday it was down to 1.2% advantage for the Republicans.
That makes me so furious.
Well, that's a no bounce at all, then.
Yeah, that makes me furious at mainstream media. Thanks for your call, Laura, because, like, you know, I don't know why on some level in my brain I still want a little bit of honest reporting. I don't even know if they're on the Republican side or whose side they're on. I just think they like to keep making it close, to keep making it, to make it competitive, to make it news. The real news would be, you know, how does the Senate work? Why don't you explain to the morons in this country how legislation, you know, is made and built, how are bills passed? What is the legislative process that, you know, enables Kerry to be, like, Kerry's a senator. He's not a flip-flopper. You know, a lot of votes are cast on the same thing over and over again until it gets to a point where it's something that's agreeable. That's part of the democratic process. Apparently, most people, including myself on some degree, don't understand this deep enough to realize that, you know, that's the senator's job. It's not flip-flopping. It's evolving the legislation. All right. Anyways, yeah, thanks for your call, Laura. We'll take some more calls after this. 866-303-2270. 2270 is for those of you who want something quicker to remember. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite. 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get Total Choice Premier free for 4 months, a $360 value. 1-800-264-0071. Call now.
At $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends October 30th, 2004. New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
Hi, this is Steve Earle reminding that your vote does make a difference.
And it's going to affect you for the next 4 years. I'm Jean Monheit. Register to vote.
In this particular election, it's going to affect the lives of your children and their children for years and years to come.
Please, be vocal. Speak out. Say something. Do something. Register to vote.
What's up, this shifty? Make your vote count.
If you don't vote, someone else is going to decide your future.
The future's in your hands.
Apathy isn't sexy. This is Jennifer Marks. Register to vote.
Get serious about voting.
Attention shoppers, if anyone is missing a rather plump set of love handles, please come to the customer service counter and claim them. The ample love handles were lost in the produce department where their former owner had purchased fruits and veggies to munch on during the big game. Thank you and have a good day.
Small step number 81, snack on fruits and veggies. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Steve Earle. There was a time when I believed that getting high enhanced my creativity. After all, I wrote some pretty good songs back then, in between finding drugs and taking drugs and finding means to get more. Then 9 years ago, I got clean. Since then, I've written 150 songs, 400 poems, 11 short stories, a play, a dozen articles and essays, and I'm working on a novel. So much for that theory.
This has been a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Community groups do so much, especially helping to keep kids away from drugs. But do you know there's a way to make community groups stronger? It's called a community coalition. Community coalitions help local groups get together and get more done. Find out how your group can get involved at helpyourcommunity.org. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Why don't they talk about the issue? We're fighting for our lives here.
Fire truck. Hey, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley, Morning Sedition. Everybody's here. We're all in the studio. Kalo's on the board.
Yep, yep.
Smarty Pants Larson in the booth with Brendan P.W. McDonald. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, is tucked away in his little world of filtering through the news.
Is Brendan ever going to get out of P.W. hell?
No, no, man.
Mark Maron's personal PWL?
PW McDonald until he gets married. It's good, man. It's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with being that way. There's nothing wrong with being in that situation. So we're talking about polling, and we're talking about my, I react to mainstream media because everything, you know, it's part of the great, you know, cultural unconscious here, or that, you know, that is what's in our face all the time. And I think a lot of people, people who don't have time to, you know, to register things or do the research, we react to it. And the truth of the matter is, it's crap. And Juliet in Brooklyn has something to add in on this. Hi, Juliet.
Hey, Juliet.
Good morning, guys. I love your show.
Thank
I love
you.
You guys. You're my favorite show on Air America. But you really cheesed me off this morning because you're carrying the water for the mainstream media. You're promoting the lie that Bush got a huge bounce out of the convention, and as somebody mentioned before, the Rasmussen tracking poll, it's only like 1 to 2 points or 3 points or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality. You guys got to promote the reality that Kerry is kicking W's booty.
Right, and I think you're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right. I wasn't trying to promote the lie. I was talking about my own frustration with these numbers. I said that, you know, I don't necessarily believe the numbers, and I'm grateful that you guys brought those numbers up.
But, you know, if Kerry was up 11 points, we'd be counting it. This is what is facts.
Yeah.
You know, the corporate media is what it is. And the polling is part of the, it's become an integral part of the electoral
cycle. Let's check in with the corporate media. This is what they want.
Yep.
And coming around the bend.
Whoa!
That's what they want. You know what I mean? A lot of noises.
Yes.
It's a noise parade. I hope she's not still cheesed off or however she put it.
Oh, yeah, cheesed off. Huh?
Well, no, we're definitely questioning it. You know, I'm just frustrated that they're, you know, working on, you know, that all they care about is themselves. Here's, not her, the media. Wow. Here we go. Here's a little agenda. Word changes. For Republicans, say Nazi. For conventions, say Nuremberg. For police, say stormtroopers. 2, blame Hurricane Francis on neocons. Call it the most elaborate scheme yet for fixing the votes in Florida. 3, blame Clinton's clogged arteries on neocons. Call it the most elaborate scheme yet for fixing Democrats. 4, help your child write essay. Change title from What I Did This Summer to How the Bush Smear Machine Undermines Democracy in Latin America. 2, today's phrase, drop it into conversation. Quote, this scar, I got that baby on 7th and 21st. Took 3 cops to drag me away. Yeah, I was on CNN. That was me.
Coming up, more from the campaign trail. Iraq, Birth of a Nation, author and social critic Mark Crispin Miller, and the Liberal Confessional, all for you here on Air America Radio.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Joe DiMassina, for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. I'm here to remind you, if you celebrate, then designate. Because if you booze and cruise, you lose.
We can sing, song, and do anything if we dare to dream.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
There's something important you can do to help your child develop properly starting at birth. Have your baby's hearing tested and follow up on any advice you're given. It's easy, inexpensive, and can help you protect your child's ability to learn. For more information, contact the American Speech Language Hearing Association on the web at asha.org or call 1-800-638-8255. 1-800-638-8255.
8255.
Old Way. I'm hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high fidelity.
New Way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Plex technology. Sirius, it's on.
America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Congress returns to work today with plans to jumpstart the effort to reorganize the nation's intelligence agencies. Members of the House and Senate are planning on moving forward on legislation to carry out the recommendations of the nonpartisan 9/11 Commission just before the elections in November. While Congress was away on summer recess, presidential politics dominated the news. With the congressional members back now, both the Democrats and Republicans will be engaged in another tug of war on just how many of the panel's recommendations will be enacted. Democrats will try to force the Republicans to accept all of the recommendations. Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry is heating up the campaign trail with a barrage of charges against President Bush over the holiday weekend in a bid to whittle down the incumbent's recent bounce from the GOP convention. Kerry, in a campaign swing through the Midwest, accused Bush of starting a costly war in Iraq without a plan for peace. Democratic presidential candidates cited the cost of the war thus far in the American taxpayers and what that money could have been spent on.
George Bush's wrong-headed go-it-alone policy has cost you already over $200 billion. That's $200 billion we're not investing in Cleveland. That's $200 billion that we're not investing in our schools and in No Child Left Behind. That's $200 billion that we're not investing in health care for all Americans and prescription drugs that are affordable. And it's $200 billion that's not going to better jobs.
Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry yesterday, Bush, in response to Kerry's charge about the war, repeated what has now become the familiar from the president, the war was the right thing to do. New book on the life and times of President George W. Bush is about to hit the nation's bookstores. It provides a not-so-glamorous view of the president and what political influence and wealth can purchase. Author Kitty Kelly says Bush snorted cocaine at Camp David on more than one occasion when his father was president. Kelly says successful efforts were made to cover up his drug use. Bush, when running for the presidency in 1999, never admitted to using drugs at all. Former President Bill Clinton is resting comfortably after undergoing heart bypass surgery yesterday at New York's Columbia Presbyterian Hospital. Lung operation was considered a complete success, as doctors say his condition is good, with an expectation for Clinton to resume his normal lifestyle with good eating habits and exercise in 3 to 4 months' time. Before then, the ex-president will have to table any immediate plans of work until he is stronger. In the bypass surgery, doctors removed one or more blood vessels from elsewhere in his body and then attached them to arteries serving the heart while detouring blood around blockages. U.S. soldiers battled insurgents loyal to Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr in Baghdad's Islamabad city today in clashes that left 34 people dead, including one American soldier, and 193 people injured. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gill.
Wouldn't it be great if you found a radio show that talked about which beer was more likely to give you a hangover? Or which new action movie was actually a chick flick in disguise? Wouldn't it be great to know that you're not the world's most gaseous man, despite what your ball and chain tells you? And ladies, wouldn't it be great to spend a little time listening in on what your guy likes to talk about when he's out with his buddies?
Oh, yeah.
I'm Mike Church, and welcome to my world.
Mike Church, weekdays 5 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Talk Central 148.
This is Earth and Sky, Monday, September 6th. Scientists think that objects in our neighborhood of space, our solar system, formed from a single spinning cloud of dust and gas.
Astronomers call this cloud the solar nebula. They wonder if the objects in our solar system all formed from the same stuff. How did planets, moons, asteroids, and comets end up so different from each other in mass and composition?
Don Burnett is a geochemist at Caltech and lead investigator with NASA's Genesis mission. The Genesis spacecraft has spent the last 3 years in space collecting charged particles from the sun. Dr. Burnett says that samples of this solar wind should help scientists understand the formation of our solar system.
And the reason is that the surface of the sun contains a frozen-in sample of the composition of what we refer to as the solar nebula. And what Genesis does is provide the starting composition. So you take the starting solar composition from Genesis and you compare that to the, what remains in any other materials, and that will be the beginning point and the end point for the evolution of these particular materials.
Genesis will make a dramatic return to Earth on Wednesday, September 8th. Tomorrow on Earth and Sky, how helicopter pilots will attempt to snatch the space probe in midair. With thanks to the National Science Foundation, we're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
Fire truck.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
All right, okay. All right, so I bring up this bounce idea, and apparently, you know, I got everybody worked up. They're saying there is no bounce. I'm with you then. I'm with you. There's no bounce. I don't believe the numbers either. I never have. I just brought it up because I'm running into liberals. I'm running into progressives. I'm running into Democrats who are getting all the fetus again. They're getting all sort of like, I don't know, man. Doesn't look good. Shut up! You know what I mean? It's like, shut up. This is what they count on. This is what the Republicans count on, is that their cultural imaging and language machine is going to make us all doubt ourselves, because they know that we're sensitive sometimes. They know that we entertain a lot of ideas all at once. They know that we're only narrow-minded about liberal things. You know what I mean? And they know that if they bully us enough, that eventually people who are not as involved or casually involved in the political process will start going, I don't know, it doesn't look good. I guess we're just going to have to deal with four more years. Doesn't have to happen.
Of course it doesn't have to happen. And watch what does happen. He's going to now chip away these same polls, the pollsters, the Newsweek people, whoever, are going to come back in another 2 or 3 weeks. They'll do another poll. They'll find that Bush's lead has eroded somewhat, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more, and eventually we'll be right back to the same horse race we had before the convention. Why? Because that's how the media sells itself.
And also, Kerry, you know, it's just going to become apparent, you know, even if he doesn't step up. Like, I can't expect for him to be as petty as the Republicans. I don't expect that of him. What I expect of him, and also what I expect of the media, which will obviously happen more as we approach the debates and certainly after the debates, is that he will be given the airtime that is necessary to communicate with a broader audience. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's still hard for people to find Kerry soundbites. It's still hard for people to find Kerry speeches because he's not dominating in the mainstream media. They're not giving him the attention that he deserves.
Well, Bush took up all the air in the room over the last 4 days of the week.
And then Zell Miller sucked the air out of the planet.
Yeah,
God,
really.
What a rageful... I didn't, this network has covered that enough last week. What I want to talk about, essentially, is your experience, Mark Riley, in having some wisdom around this stuff, is that the game is not over. We've got a lot of time between now and the elections. A lot of things can happen. John Kerry will define himself, because the truth of the matter is, Bush is arrogant, he's smug, he's condescending, he's a nasty, secretive person that's, you know, involved in this Christo-fascist administration that Mark Crispin Miller will speak to us about,
mm-hmm.
you know, after this, because it's one of his favorite topics. And
And I think that people will start to realize, hopefully, that belligerence and stubbornness and an inability to change, even when the facts dictate that the truth is being, you know, obscured, is not strength. It's stupidity. It's stupidity.
What we're seeing, I think, Mark, is the beginning of, and we talked about this at the end of last week, the beginning of the transformation of John Kerry's campaign, yet another transformation of John Kerry's campaign. He brings in Joe Lockhart. He brings in Joel Johnson. He talks to Clinton on his hospital bed, long conversation, talking about the economy, talking Clinton giving him a pep talk about what he feels he needs to do. Remember that the Clinton whole, the Clinton apparatus,
yeah,
the former president's apparatus, has been kept at arm's length by John Kerry. Yeah, there were a circle of people within the campaign, but they were not the closest circle of people. That started to change. So what I think John Kerry realizes is, if I'm going to win this, I need to talk to a winner. And Bill Clinton, if nothing else, was a winner when it came to electoral politics, and particularly the deft use of economic figures, which, unlike polls, are not speculation. You know what I'm saying? When people say 913,000 jobs have been lost, 1.1 million net, they're not talking about something that's ethereal or something that they got from a random sampling of people. These are actual numbers. And when you start looking at those numbers, George Bush has got absolutely nothing that he can combat this stuff with. He can say, oh, the economy's getting better. But do people actually believe that? Do people look in their wallets and say, hey, I'm doing better than I was under Bill Clinton?
He's got nothing but 3,000 dead people here in this city, close to 1,000 dead American soldiers in Iraq. He's got nothing to run on but human sacrifice, you know, because of his mistakes. The Republican death cult has to be stopped because they don't represent strength. It's a lie. And this isn't a war about anything specific other than the idea of perpetual war to guarantee imperialistic, you know, American motives.
Now I got a question for
what?
You.
God, that sounded like Janine.
Oh, a little man. Deeper voice. Do you think that these new revelations, particularly the revelations about the missing files, the files that may never have in fact been created about George W. Bush's service in the Texas Air National Guard, will this stuff stick to him?
Well, it's got to be packaged properly. If Kerry was able to put together a nice little, you know, package of ideas and information and a nice little sort of, you know, metaphoric punch about, you know, Bush being AWOL, about Bush's records being unavailable, about Bush being a blow monkey, about Bush, you know, about Laura Bush being a pot smoker, which I'm not going to use because I'm not petty and I've been a blow monkey and a pot smoker in my life. But, you know, the truth of the matter is like, I don't know, I think he can make it all stick, but you know, the fact that people don't realize that George W. Bush was more of an entitled, spoiled little, you know, wuss than John Kerry ever was. You know, John Kerry has been a career politician who is, you know, who has helped to, you know, pass legislation that is, you know, pro people, that, you know, he's got a career in politics to fall back on. He's not a flip-flopper. His record speaks for itself in terms of, you know, fighting the good fight in some respects.
Well, let's flesh this thing out in terms of his records. There were documents that were supposed to have been written because there were gaps in Bush's Texas Air National Guard service, okay? This is about his service in 1972 and 1973. Air National Guard regulations at that time said the commanders had to write an investigative report when Bush missed his annual medical exam back in 1972. The regulations also said the commanders had to confirm that he had received counseling after missing 5 months of drills. No such record have been made. No such records have been made public, and the government told the Associated Press that it had released all the records it could find. In other words, either those records were expunged or they never existed in the first place.
Well, you know, you and I know, and I'm not afraid to say that the guy was AWOL, the guy was a little blow monkey, the guy was being babysat by a family friend because he had gotten too out of control in Houston. He was embarrassing the family, so that, you know, they threw him off on the Allisons, and the widow, she was on the,
that interview Mary with Mary Jacoby, yeah.
Did a piece on her saying that she doesn't have any recollection of him ever putting a uniform on, and he was staying at her house.
Yeah.
You know, and the truth of the matter is that these guys, apparently one of the retired Air Force Colonel Leonard Walls, who flew 181 combat missions over Vietnam and was part of the, the National Guard, said it's sort of like a code of honor that you didn't go duty not included. He was saying, I'm just reading things off a piece of paper here, so I want to try and explain, that these guys who were in the National Guard, they were very careful to make sure that they flew all their missions usually, that they didn't go AWOL, they didn't slack off, because, quote, there was a lot of pride in keeping combat-ready status. Well, this guy, our president, has no code of honor, and he has no real pride in any accomplishments, because he's just an arrogant, smug turd that is basically running on being a bully. He's got no integrity as an individual, and somehow or another he's fooled a great deal of this country that he has some sort of authenticity, some sort of integrity as a human being, because he was able to send a lot of soldiers to their death for a lie. And also, he was, he was responsible for the oversight that led to 3,000 people dying here. The Republicans are a death cult that only care about money. And I'm sorry, I didn't address what you were saying. The truth of the matter is, I do think that Kerry can use this against him if he does it properly. But I'm also thinking that maybe it's time to stop being so petty. The people that know and believe that Bush was AWOL, know and believe he was AWOL, maybe it's time to focus on domestic issues and just get down to the numbers.
Well, maybe it is. There are, though, some real questions about these files. That should have been done, should have been created, and somehow are either missing or never were created at some point. And it really does get back to the whole question of, isn't there anybody, anywhere that recalls George W. Bush's service? And again, this is something that the Republicans have used to attack. Maybe it is time to move on, because it seems as though the Bush people have gotten as much as they can get off the Swift boat thing. Those guys will probably be cutting ribbons at shopping malls before very long.
That guy, I saw that footage from the 70s on Dick Cavett's show with John O'Neill, that he's just an angry, weaselly, little nasty guy. Who was going after Kerry, in the same way that he's going after him now. The one thing that there are recollections of is apparently George W. Bush's ex-sister-in-law remembers George W. Bush in Kitty Wells' new book as, doing blow.
Kitty Kelly.
Kid Kelly. Doing blow at Camp David.
Mm-hmm.
Several times.
While his dad was president. Now, he said he had used an illegal substance in 25 years. His dad was president from 1988, which would be 14 years ago, through 1992, which would be 12 years ago. There's a gap there, too, just like in the military.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing blow. I'm just saying, why?
Yes, there is. Marin, admit it.
Okay.
There's something wrong to using blow.
Yeah, there is. There's that, that period where you just can't sleep and you're afraid you're going to die. That's horrendous.
Yeah.
That, 3 or 4 hours of that is definitely wrong.
Lord, please, if I don't do this ever again, just let me get through this night.
Yeah, that part.
But
it's like, I'm not going to be petty about it. I mean, because I'm guilty of the same thing. But he has lied about it, and he is the president, and he should certainly be judged on a different criterion than me, a morning radio show's host and a comedian. We're supposed to do blow. It's part of my job. I don't do it. I haven't done it in 5 years, but there was a time where it was just good. It was research. I had a lot of thinking to do. We're going to be back with Mark Crispin Miller, a good friend of mine. He's a professor of media studies at New York University, and his new book, Cruel and Unusual, Bush and Cheney's New World Order, is out now, and he's got a lot to say about a lot of subjects, and we're going to talk to him after this on Air America Radio.
A bad vocabulary can sink you socially and professionally more quickly than bad breath. I'm Peter Bissonette, publisher of Million Dollar Vocabulary. If you fumble for the right words or use the wrong words, people make judgments about your background, your education, even your intelligence. Now, you can add hundreds of words to your vocabulary with Million Dollar Vocabulary, the cutting-edge learning system that teaches you how to lock words and their meanings into your memory so you can use them instantly and recall them for years. I can help you add hundreds of powerful words to your vocabulary, including words that are crucial for business success. It's fast, fun, and easy. You'll be amazed at the words you can use after 1 hour with Million Dollar Vocabulary.
Try Million Dollar Vocabulary risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-458-0599. 1-800-458-0599. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-458-0599.
Wouldn't it be great if you found a radio show that talked about which beer was more likely to give you a hangover? Or which new action movie was actually a chick flick in disguise? Wouldn't it be great to know that you're not the world's most gaseous man, despite what your ball and chain tells you? And ladies, wouldn't it be great to spend a little time listening in on what your guy likes to talk about when he's out with his buddies?
Oh, yeah.
stuff.
I'm Mike Church, and welcome to my world.
Mike Church, weekdays 5 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Talk Central 148.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Trent Berhow is a USDA food inspector, but is speaking as a private citizen. Inspectors on the line used to have the power to shut down the line if they suspected there were a problem. You still have that power, but politically, it's not wise to use it. Is that the correct way to put it?
Yeah, that power is still there, but I mean, it's the clout that industry has over the agency. I mean, not only do they have powerful lobbying efforts in Washington from a congressional level, I mean, we have cattlemen that are serving for the USDA now.
And so if you shut down a line and they didn't agree with you at headquarters, would they discipline you?
Definitely the potential is there for that, yes. It's never happened to me, but I know of inspectors who have been disciplined for taking what the industry claimed was, you know, inappropriate control actions.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hi, I'm Meg Ryan for Doctors Without Borders. Did you know that more than 14 million people die each year from infectious diseases such as tuberculosis, sleeping sickness, and malaria? Doctors Without Borders, which works in more than 85 countries around the world, is tired of sending their patients home because the treatment is too old, too expensive, or not available. Get informed and get involved by visiting Doctors Without Borders' traveling exhibit called the Access Expo. It's coming to your city this year. For more information, go to their website, doctorswithoutborders.org.
About the issues. We're fighting for our lives here.
Fire truck. Hey, it's Mark Maron here on Morning's Edition with Mark Riley.
Morning.
Air America Radio. Is that all you need to know? I have my in front of me the dream diary. This is actually from two nights ago, you know, but, you know, we had day off. It's the middle of a hurricane, and I'm reporting for the Weather Channel. And I am totally getting my ass kicked. 70-mile-an-hour winds ripping right through my blue Gore-Tex rain suit. Raindrops making kamikaze dives into my eyeballs. A flying coconut torpedoes me right in the nads. I've got crabs. No, actual crabs fighting to get out of my drenched rain pants. It's the worst day of my life, but that doesn't matter. It's great TV. Palm trees are snapping in half and beating on the high-rise condos like Gene Krupa with a tom-tom. A couple of 90-pound models are lifted up and carried off like a pair of Gucci kites. A dolphin is walking a man on a leash. Suddenly, through all the water and chaos, I look up and the sky has turned into a million black and gray TV screens all playing Bush's attack ad slamming John Kerry. Lightning flashes, bells toll, the rain turns black and starts pounding down in huge sludgy globs. Pretty soon I'm covered in spin and muck, the grimy lies burning my ears and my eyes. I scream as loud as I can, but I can't hear myself. There's too much noise. I look around and see millions of people drenched and screaming into the wind. They can't hear themselves, and they can't hear anyone else. We're all hoarse and soaked and miserable, and just when it seemed like we were all going to drown, someone flips a switch and it stops. No more rain, no more noise, no more wind, silence. An old man wearing flowered shorts and espadrilles shuffled out onto the beach and said to no one in particular, "Hold it down, you kids. I'm trying to get some rest here." And then shuffled back inside his condo to watch Matlock. I woke up and my bed was filled with pearls.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
Right now, it's my pleasure to bring into the studio. He's right here sitting with us again. The author. Can I mention the book, Mark? Let me mention the book.
Would you please do that?
Sure. Cruel and Unusual, Bush and Cheney's New World Order, is available now. So is the Bush Dyslexicon. Mark Crispin Miller is here let's continue with this. Wait, we were talking about Kerry. We're talking about these numbers. Do you believe the numbers?
Well, from what I've read, the 11-point bounce that Bush allegedly got after the convention.
Not true.
Well, I read that the methodology used in that poll was very questionable. It was a CBS poll.
The sampling.
Yeah. I think they did the whole thing in Louisiana, something like that.
One room where they had a sign of loyalty.
Plus that, too.
Yeah.
But according to Rasmussen, which is a pollster that, you know, I've never seen anybody disrespect, Bush got a gradual three-point bump during his convention, and then that was it.
Good. So that's it.
Well, yeah, but what's significant is, of course, that everybody spins this without question as this gigantic bounce.
Well, as one of our callers pointed out, they want a horse race. The media wants a horse race. They want to keep playing this up. They want to keep getting, you know, making people riled up like me. And I'm glad that you're here to calm me down. I'm glad that Riley's here to calm me down. But what do you see Kerry needing to, what do you think needs to happen? How is Kerry going to manufacture a package of information that punches properly?
Well, the first thing he has to do, and what I'm saying is what everybody's saying, is he has to get off the defensive and go on the attack. Because, I mean, God knows he's got enough accurate information, enough true charges to make. He could, you know, they started to do the right thing the other night when he and his surrogates all started baying like hounds about the fact that, who is this guy Bush to be questioning this guy's record? This is the question that would occur to any reasonable person.
Yeah.
You can't pussyfoot around here.
Yeah, how is that? How are they selling that bill of goods? I don't even understand it. Who the hell are these draft dodgers?
Well, exactly.
Draft deferrers and AWOLies?
There is what we want to be hearing.
Right.
We want the whole nation to be echoing with that outraged question. That's absolutely right.
Right.
But they got to go beyond that. That's still on the defensive. They
right.
got to go beyond that and raise, I believe they have to raise profound questions. I think they should be asking these people, you know, what exactly is it you believe in anyway? Mr. Bush, you have said recently that you will be reelected by the people who share your values. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah.
Do you mean there are Americans out there who don't share your values and they're not Americans? Are you not their president too? You know?
Right.
Mr. President, you insist, you and your party insist that all judicial appointments be people who believe staunchly and getting rid of abortion rights.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't that amount to a religious test for office holders, which is against the Constitution, Article 6? I mean, these people are dancing us toward the abyss of theocracy. That's what Cruel and Unusual is about.
I believe that to be true. That, you know, that there are these what some people call Christo-fascists. There are people that there are people within the administration, certainly people within the base of the Republicans that are theocrats, shameless theocrats, to the point where they say they don't even care about the economy. That's not the important issue. Now, I talked to another guy. There are some liberals out there among us, or some independents, that are like, no, you're overreacting. You know, this is just another election year, and, you know, the worst that can happen is four more years. What do you say to those idiots?
Is what you say, is you say, well, you can go through the rights we've lost since these people took over. And the amendments that have been nullified.
Mm-hmm.
You could bring up the usual stuff about lying to get us into a war. That evidently doesn't register with some people, because some people have a kind of an emotional investment in saying it's still the same as it always was, and both parties are essentially alike. One of these parties is not in the American tradition. One of these parties is not within the confines of our mainstream political traditions, and all their policies, foreign and domestic, you go through them. They all reflect on a theocratic agenda. We've got a ban on stem cell research. We have a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriages. We've got a full court press against abortion rights. We have an abstinence-based AIDS policy. Take a look at the latest regulations from the Centers for Disease Control. They actually stipulate that any health worker, any American health worker abroad, has to tell people that condoms don't work. We have an Office of Faith-Based Initiatives in the White House. Mr. President, why is it that the office has so far not given a nickel to any Islamic or Jewish groups if it's supposed to be supporting religious social service agencies? I mean, doesn't it amount to a political operation for your base? The questions are legion. The appointments this guy's made, the dismissal of science, you know, it's staggering. And even our foreign policy, if we could get into that too,
is
motivated by this kind of end of the world eschatology. It's very frightening.
Mark Crispin Miller is our guest. He's professor of media studies at New York University, author of the new book, Cruel and Unusual, Bush Cheney's New World Order, and also the Bush Dyslexicon, Observations on a National Disorder. Now, Cruel and Unusual we have on the website. I hope we
do. Sure we do. Sure we do.
All right. We got it there so people can get a hold of it. We're going to be right back with Mark Crispin Miller and you on the phones at 866-303-2270. Plus, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, The Liberal Confessional, and so much more for you here at Air America Radio.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Congress top budget analysts say the nation's deficit is in uncharted territory. They say they had expected the 2004 rating to set a record. A preliminary report last month shows a shortfall could be $422 billion, far surpassing last year's $375 billion gap. Democrats are saying it's another sign that George W. Bush's tax and economic policies have been a disaster. Death toll continues to rise in Iraq. New figures now show 12 American soldiers were killed yesterday and today in the strife-torn nation. Deaths from the entire war and U.S. occupation of Iraq are now at 998, just shy of 1,000. President Bush defended his reason for war in Iraq yesterday. The president, in response to a blistering attack by Democrat John Kerry, again said the war was the right thing to do, no further explanation. Kerry yesterday said he would bring the American troops home in 4 years' time. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized venti with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
I'm Bobby Lyons with today's Car Clinic Minute. This month comes in like a lion and leaves like a lamb. So how do you prepare for Mother Nature's and her? Well, when I come back, I'll tell you the forecast for driving in unpredictable weather. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first, until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com. Changing her mind is a woman's prerogative, so Mother Nature's in top form. Though you can't change spring weather's grab bag, you can take charge of your vehicle's health by having a semi-annual inspection performed. Include, 1, your cooling system, flush radiators, and change coolant. 2, tires. Internal air pressure changes with outside air temperature, so check for recommended PSI. And 3, windshield wipers. Winter-worn wipers can leave you defenseless against unexpected spring showers. Now, go enjoy spring weather. Though Mother Nature may roar, your vehicle will purr. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Mark Manhur with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Mark Crispin Miller is with us. This is what Bush's old business school professor said about his speech at the convention. Professor, what's your grade?
The grade is F.
Right now, since the handover of power, exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face, this is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 70. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. Like us, you've got elections coming up. And like us, there are parts of the country where you'd rather not have them vote. You see, our nations are getting closer all the time. Now I see you want to bypass violent hotspots like Fallujah. Yes, hello. Hello, Felicia. Good to see you. You're absolutely right not to let these people vote. Just because you have a democracy now doesn't mean everyone votes. I mean, hell, only half of us voted in the last election. And most of those who voted picked the guy who lost. So the lesson here is that voting is about quality and not quantity. Right. The important thing is that the few who are allowed to vote, vote for your guy. So don't let the Falusians vote. Those guys are loose cannons, and I mean that literally. Just say they can't vote this time because of national security. Who's going to argue with that? All right. By the time the next election rolls around, the Falusians will either be on your side or they'll be dead. It's a win-win. All right. Yes. You've got a shiny new democracy. Do you really want the people getting their grubby hands all over it? Until then, good luck and God bless. This is day 70 of Iraq, birth of a nation. Live free or die. Yes, Mark Crispin Miller is our guest. We're talking about... Now, Thomas Frank, in his book, What's Wrong, or What's the Matter with Kansas, says that these wedge issues are there just to keep these people, you know, at, you know, chomping at the bits, that there is no resolution to them, that those people are being exploited by, you know, these real sort of Republican monsters that only care about the bottom line and profits. How does that fit into your argument?
Well, I think he's made a terrific case. I think it's a great book. It's true that the Republican Party has succeeded in using wedge issues to distract their grassroots supporters from the economic realities of their lives, and they've been able thereby to depict the Democrats as the elitists. So they have this kind of phony populism, right?
And I get that, but I'm right. Just saying, is that like...
How does that fit with my thing?
Cheney doesn't seem like a religious man.
He's not. You have to understand that there's a convergence of interests at work here.
Right.
Cheney and Rumsfeld are surrounded by these disciples of the philosopher Leo Strauss.
The Chicago guy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The people we call neocons are all heavily influenced by him. He was an atheist.
Right.
But interestingly enough, he believed that the worst thing that ever happened in human history was the disappearance of religious government. Because religious government, you know, is good for society because it makes people docile.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
That's why these folks have no problem whatsoever working quite closely with much more, you know, out there kind of religious organizations. I'll give you an example. Elliot Abrams, who chief Middle East expert on the National Security Council, a neocon from soul to crown, you know.
Iran-Contra Elliot Abrams. The guy that almost went to jail, Elliot Abrams.
Elliot almost went to jail, Abrams, right? he takes long meetings on a regular basis with an outfit called the Apostolic Congress.
Ooh.
Which is a self-described, it calls itself the Christian voice in the nation's capital. And it is made up of self-described Christian Zionists. There are about 20 million people in this country who are Christian Zionists. And the guy who runs the Apostolic Congress quite frankly told Rick Perlstein of the Village Voice that the reason why they call themselves the Christian voice in the capital and not a Christian voice is because they operate from a theocratical perspective.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can give you – I mean, Jack Van Imp, you know, the televangelist, was – it claims to have been consulted often by Condoleezza Rice, and the White House would not, you know, contradict this. But there's plenty of other examples of this weird convergence of interests.
So they want to engage the opiate of the masses while they pillage the planet.
Well, it's not that cut and dried. Where I differ with Tom and his thesis is,
yes,
I don't think this thing is entirely conscious and deliberate. I think it's like half conscious, half deliberate, half a tactic, you know, and the other half is sort of like a symptom. It's just the way they operate. They're more comfortable, for example, doing nothing but attacking the other side. I mean, if you took away the attack impulse from the Republican Party today, there'd be nothing left. Right? They have to have targets. They have to be on the offensive. Right? That's not just a tactic. That's not because they just sat down and said it'll suit our purposes if we keep people on the attack and distract them from the issues. There is a genuine maliciousness there. There was a genuine, I believe, and Cruel and Unusual, I go into it in detail. I think it's based on self-hatred. I think the whole movement is a projective movement, that these are people who are attacking the other for qualities they hate in themselves. And I think it's pathological, finally. So while it does partly reflect a strategy, okay, if we go too far in describing it as a strategy, I think we miss the irrational dimension of this movement, because it is an irrational movement.
All right, let's talk about that, you know, a little more specifically when we come back. Our guest is Mark Crispin Miller. The book is Cruel and Unusual, Bush and Cheney's New World Order. We'll be back with him in a second on Air America Radio. Want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Wouldn't it be great if you found a radio show that talked about which beer was more likely to give you a hangover? Or which new action movie was actually a chick flick in disguise? Wouldn't it be great to know that you're not the world's most gaseous man, despite what your ball and chain tells you? And ladies, wouldn't it be great to spend a little time listening in on what your guy likes to talk about when he's out with his buddies?
Oh, yeah.
I'm Mike Church, and welcome to my world.
Mike Church, weekdays 5 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Talk Central 148.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst.
There are fewer and fewer organizations that are using the printed ad, and one of the major reasons is that they typically get so many applications in that they can't manage them, and unfortunately, as a result of discarding some of them, they usually get people phoning up or getting in touch with them saying, you discriminated against me.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a litigious society, and people said a good way to make some money is to say, you discriminated against me, didn't give me a chance at this job, and therefore I'm going to sue you. So people are using those printed want ads less and less and less. Typically, I think they're probably most useful if you're looking for a trade in a local area or a job in a local area. If you're trying to change your career or move to another area geographically, it doesn't work at all that way.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Right now, you can act on behalf of kids. Call the toll-free number 1-888-662-3200 for your free action guide. You'll learn how to get connected to people in your community who are already making a difference in kids' lives. Again, that number is 1-888-662-3200 or visit our website at www.kidscampaign.org/radio. kidscampaign.org/radio. A message from the Coalition for America's Children, the AT&T Foundation, and the Ad Council.
We're back. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley there. Mark Crispin Miller, the author of Cruel and Unusual, Bush and Cheney's New World Order, is with us. The fire truck thing's from an ad we did, and he kind of laughed.
Yeah.
People hear it, they laugh, and they're like, they don't know why, what it means. Hey, I want to play that ad for Mark Crispin Miller. He'd really appreciate it. Can we hear that ad about the terrorism ad?
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
John Kerry likes to call it the war on terror. That's because he lacks the moral clarity of George Bush, who knows what this is really about.
We've actually misnamed the war on terror. It ought to be the struggle against ideological extremists who do not believe in free societies, who happen to use terror as a weapon to try to shake the conscience of the free world.
John Kerry says he can even win this so-called war on terror. That's because he lacks the strong and steady leadership of George W. Bush, who's got a better plan than just winning.
I don't think you can win it, but I think you can create conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world. Let's put it that way.
George W. Bush. Unlike John Kerry, he's fighting the struggle against ideological extremists who do not believe in free societies, who happen to use terror as a weapon to try to shake the conscience of the free world by creating conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world.
Good. All right. Now let's play the Kerry bite for reals, Chris.
On every issue, from Iraq to health care, jobs, education, safety, the ability of Social Security to be protected, it's time for a president who understands this president's taking America in the wrong direction, making the wrong choices. And we need a president who's going to stand up and fight for the middle class and the working people of our country.
That was in Racine, West Virginia, I guess, just the other day, yesterday maybe. Lee, we got a call. Lee in Manhattan to address that. How are you, Lee?
Hi, Lee.
Hi, guys. Hi, Mark.
Three of us.
I love you all, but you're giving me a migraine, and that setup was great, but it left out one little thing.
Mm.
He starts by saying, what does W stand for? It stands for wrong. Wrong on judgment. Wrong on environment. Wrong on health care. Blah, blah, blah. So there is your soundbite. I remember it. Okay, guys. All together now. What does W stand for?
Wrong.
Right.
Wrong.
Soundbite.
Why are we giving you a migraine?
Because you sounded desperate this morning.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you know what you did. But you're wrong, guys. And not only that, it won't be one thing that knocks him out of the box, because the media is there to pick up everything Kerry does and not what he does. Watch C-SPAN. It's much better. Anyway, for your mental health. Anyway, what they're going to do is, I think, Kerry, Senator Graham is coming out today with his book. Kitty Kelly is coming out the 14th with her book. They're just going to keep
Ben Barnes, don't forget
it.
Ben
Every
Barnes.
Every time there are large casualties and Bush gets on the air and says, this war was the, you know, he sounds nuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he'll do it himself, but it's coming. So don't sound desperate. Okay?
I was worked up. I'm not desperate.
No, but it's the media kind of worked up.
No. Wait a minute. Hold it. Let me disabuse you of that notion. This is not the media. This is Mark Maron.
I got worked up.
This is reality. This is not a matter of his. He yelled at all of us this morning before we got on air. This is not media. This is real. Believe me when I tell you, all experienced it.
I got worked up in reaction to the media that was working my brain.
You got it. Now we...
You're going to make me cry, Lee. I got to go.
Bye.
Take
you
care.
Now she's got me all more self-conscious than I need to be. Now I'm all self-conscious.
Now nobody's paying attention.
Irrationality. Talk to about
well,
it.
Well, you know, the soundbite we just listened to is very interesting, because Kerry, I think, you know, smartly treats the whole weird phenomenon of Bush's mistakenness as a sort of a sequence of incorrect or impossible policies. His environmental policy is wrong. His policy this, that. They're all wrong policies. That's obviously true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the evidence is all around us. But the wrongness is more profound than that, you know. This is a movement that I'm not exaggerating, and I documented thoroughly all in the book in Cruel and Unusual. This is a movement that really wants to move us back to a moment prior to the Enlightenment. This is a movement that does not really ultimately believe in reason.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe in the Enlightenment values that motivated the framers. They believe in faith-based, I don't know what you call it, thinking, reasoning. It's like wishful thinking.
Mystical thinking.
I mean, there's a doctrine way out on the Christian right called Christian revisionism, which holds that even though it is not the case that this is a Christian republic, even though it is the case that the framers, you know, deliberately separated church and state, as a matter of faith, true Christians are obliged to believe that it happened differently.
Not that the framers were wrong.
No. Right. We just assert that it is a Christian republic. We assert that the framers were all pious Christians, all like-minded. We assert that the Constitution does not...
But they weren't.
Well,
of
that's,
course.
But that,
where, that's beside the point.
Where are you coming from with that? You're coming from reason.
Right.
You don't have the...
Oh, that's great. And they all think that that's just spin. They think that, you know, they think that the theory of evolution is some sort of strange liberal elitist Jewish spin.
That's right.
Which is insanity.
Well,
I mean, it's like,
exactly what it is. You can't live in a universe where inconvenient scientific data, you know, stuff that doesn't somehow fit your own religious scruples, you just scrub that from your websites.
Right.
You can't have a society where you can choose to emphasize creationism and equate it with or make it even seem superior to Darwin's theory. You know, the Soviets didn't believe in Darwin because it was politically incorrect for them. So they came up with this, you know, insane alternative called Lysenkoism.
Yeah.
The Nazis were slow to develop the bomb in part because they thought that physics was Jewish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, not that I'm not pleased that they failed to build the bomb, but the point is,
I understand.
Any society that loses touch with reality to the extent that this party has lost touch with reality is a doomed party.
And also, there's going to be reaction in some respects. And some, you know, these Christian fanatics that you speak of, these people that, you know, are committed to a delusion, you know, in terms of, you know, their nationalism on some level, they will react like, you guys are being anti-Christian. And we're not. We're not being all Christian. Because there is a schism. You know, there's plenty of Christians who actually honor the teachings of Christ that are very anti these guys that we're talking about.
Well, moreover, the separation of church and state can't be overemphasized, was actually the joint work of many, many Christians in America and the rationalist framers. In fact, the first most articulate proponent of the separation was Roger Williams, the guy who started Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
The basis for his argument was religious. He believed that the world is so corrupt, its institutions are so corrupt, that government must be corrupt, and government shouldn't involve itself in religion. So he came at it from a different point of view.
Right.
Still, the fact is that for decades and decades in this country, groups like the Baptists, for example, were absolutely ardent champions of the Jeffersonian yeah. church and state because it ensures religious liberty, which I think is a great thing.
All right. We got it. Let's just hang out. We'll close it up after this. We're talking to Mark Crispin Miller. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
Candidate for Governor Dickie Pillager has a message for you, the voter.
I always turn to nature to make sense of the world, but our environment is under siege. Under siege, under fire.
Cut!
Under
not
under
attack. Anything, Dickie. It's endangered. He's got big ideas about the environment.
Have to get our priorities straight. The whole environmental arena, that's a priority.
Richard Dickie Pillager on law enforcement.
Frontier justice. All you needed was a good strong rope and a tree to hang it from.
Social issues.
Organizations formed to help these things will be happy to pitch in if only government would get out of their way.
Cooking.
If you're going to have a front burner, which is where you want your priorities, it's like cooking.
Finally, a candidate with all the right answers. Finally, a candidate with a vision for America. In the new movie from acclaimed director John Sayles, Silver City, rated R for language. Coming soon to select cities.
Sirius is giving away a Larson Senza sports boat.
No purchase necessary.
It's awesome!
Must be 18 or older to enter.
Hey, can I sell them?
Valid in the 48 contiguous states.
It even comes with Sirius.
It's online at 11:59 p.m. Eastern.
It's really cool!
On September 30th, 04.
Can I get a word in?
For official rules, see Sirius.com/Larson or select Larson dealer.
Bow, summer, water, fun!
Void where prohibited.
Are you done?
Yes.
Good! Why don't you get out so I can see how fast we're going?
The Consultant Pharmacist is your own personal health care consultant. You'll find them in nursing homes, other long-term care settings, and in your community, anywhere there's a need for high-level medication management. But Consultant Pharmacy is more than just managing medications. It's about helping people live better and longer lives. This message brought to you by the American Society of Consultant Pharmacists.
The greatest gift a dad can give his kids isn't something he can buy. It's something priceless. Time. Studies show that kids with involved fathers are less likely to abuse drugs, commit crimes, get pregnant, get depressed, or fail academically. All it takes is time, and it takes a man to be a dad.
A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Call 1-800-790-DADS for free, helpful information or visit www.fatherhood.org.
If you think of a library as that place where shh is the only thing you hear, think again. Many are being forced to cut back hours, reduce services, even close their doors. The time to support your local library is now. Contact your library to find out how you can help keep the doors open. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. For more info, visit the American Library Association at www.ala.org.
Good morning, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Mark Crispin Miller. Kayla's on the boards. Marty Patterson is in the booth with Brendan P.W. McDonald, Dan Pashman, son of Lewis, and Linda Pashman in New Jersey in the other room scouring the news. And the big guy, Doug Krieger, overseeing, over back there in the corner, looking dangerously at the complete, you know, the craziness that goes on here in the morning show. Thanks for waking up, Doug. Appreciate it. Yeah, you know, it's weird. It's kind of interesting when the
Brad. Good thing he's an NYU guy, pal.
Yeah, the picket sweep out of their eyes going, you know, I caught the last 10 minutes. And that's, you know, that's it. Like, you know, 7 o'clock. Well, God forbid any of them wake up at 6 to hear the whole show, but thank God they don't, because that's the reactionary hour.
Wait a minute.
That's when it gets really crazy.
I got to update my resume. I can see it coming.
We got Sherry in D.C. Good morning, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Sherry?
Oh,
yes.
Sherry.
How are you? What's on your mind?
Well, I've got a couple of comments and a question.
Okay.
My comment is that the media spotlights Bush.
Yes.
Never says anything negative about Bush. So we never hear anything that is good going on about Kerry, only about negative things that Bush says about Kerry.
My
question is how do you feel Kerry will fare in the debate?
Mark Crispin Miller.
Well, there's no question. Sherry's absolutely right, and it's been this way for years. I mean, just think of the last election campaign.
Yeah.
I mean, their study upon study has authenticated the claim that you know, they favor the Republican. They always do that. So,
do you think that's essentially because that media companies are owned by Republican interests in some respect, that corporations are pro-Republican and it trickles down from there?
Well, that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
There's also the fact that the Washington Press Corps is grossly overpaid, and they hobnob with the people they're supposed to be covering. It also has to do with the propaganda drive against the liberal media. I mean, we could do a whole show on this. There's a complex of reasons why our press is totally corrupt. Okay, they're not fulfilling their constitutional obligation to tell the people what the government's doing so the people can run the country.
Right? They're busy schmoozing.
They're schmoozing. They're thinking of their careers. You know, it's really as simple as
I'm
that.
I'm getting on the network.
Now what Sherry asks about, you know, I reckon that because Bush typically gets a lot of slack cut for him because the standard is so low.
Mm-hmm.
The soft bigotry of low expectations, he's always talking about that. He uses that to refer to black kids in school, but he's the one who's benefited big time from that soft bigotry because people expect nothing from him, and they will expect something from Kerry because Kerry is nuanced and uses long words. I wouldn't be surprised to hear a lot of people calling it for Bush, even if Bush is standing up there drooling, you know.
Well, it's the smugness. It's the bully tactics. It's the condescension. It's the strange sort of snide quick-wittedness of the guy that appeals to a type of repressed anger in Americans. It's a very
Absolutely.
Scary thing that, you know, because a lot of people think that this guy's like one of their buddies, kind of guy you want to hang around with because he's a smug, arrogant, condescending, you know, turd.
Back to the T word.
What do you think of him, though?
No, I don't mean to use the word condescending. But the thing that I'm saying is that is frightening to me, that people have so much repressed rage that is undefined that they think this guy's a strong person.
I agree with you. I think that when you get right down to it, this movement, this administration, the movement that it serves, they're based on rage.
Yes.
They're based on anger. It's not rational.
Right.
You know, and anybody who tries to reduce it all to economics or oil, some of that's extremely important. But the pathological side, the rage,
is very important.
Yeah.
We'll plug your book on the other side. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks
Mark
for having me.
Appreciate it. Mark Crispin Miller.
Coming up in the next hour of Morning's Edition of the Presidential Daily Briefing, playwright Brian Dykstra, the liberal agenda, liberal confessional, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Then.
I am the Edison Photograph. Those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office will unveil its annual summertime deficit forecast later today, just 8 weeks before the election, and the news is not pretty. A preliminary report by the top budget analyst of Congress reveals that the shortfall could be close to $422 billion, far surpassing last year's $375 billion gap. Republicans have argued that fighting the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and terrorism and correcting the economy justify the cost overruns. Democrats charge that new figures serve as evidence that President George W. Bush's tax and economic policies are not working. Republicans in the 80s and 90s railed against budget shortfalls. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry says the president is not focused on the real priorities for most Americans. Kerry, in a campaign stop in West Virginia yesterday, cited Bush's deficiencies.
On every issue, from Iraq to health care, jobs, education, safety, the ability of Social Security to be protected, it's time for a president who understands this president's taking America in the wrong direction, making the wrong choices, and we need a president who's going to stand up and fight for the middle class and the working people of our country.
Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry in Racine, West Virginia. President Bush is still having a hard time with the nation's primary language, English. Yesterday, he offered a surprising explanation of what gynecologists might do with their patients if they did not have to contend with pesky malpractice lawsuits. Bush said yesterday that too many doctors are getting out of the business. President added that too many OBGYNs are not able to practice their love with women all across the country. President made the statement with a straight face, baffling all those who heard it. Bush was trying to attack John Kerry and his running mate John Edwards for siding with trial lawyers over doctors in the struggle to limit lawsuits. There's been no definitive explanation for Bush's flaws during campaign speeches and other appearances, but a new book about to hit the nation's bookstores by author Kitty Kelly points to his use of cocaine, even during his father's presidency in the late 1980s and early 90s. Kelly quotes Bush's former sister-in-law, Sharon Bush, on the drug use that was well hidden because of political influence and familial wealth. Former President Bill Clinton is resting comfortably after undergoing heart bypass surgery yesterday in New York's Columbia Presbyterian Hospital. Long operation was considered a success. His doctors say his condition is good, with an expectation for Clinton to resume his normal lifestyle with good eating habits and exercise in 3 to 4 months' time. Before then, the ex-president will have to table any immediate plans of work until he is much stronger. And President Bush defended his reasons for war in Iraq without specifically defining them yesterday. Bush told a campaign stop in southeast Missouri that Iraq's war was the right thing to do. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Hi, this is Steve Earle reminding that your vote does make a difference.
And it's going to affect you for the next 4 years. I'm Jean Monheit. Register to vote.
In this particular election, it's going to affect the lives of your children and their children for years and years to come.
Please be vocal. Speak out. Say something. Do something. Register to vote.
What's up, this Shifty? Make your vote count.
If you don't vote, someone else is going to decide your future.
The future's in your hands.
Apathy isn't sexy. This is Jennifer Mark. Register to vote.
Get serious about voting.
Hi,
Hi, this is Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. So your hot new sports car flies, hugging hairpin curves, and stopping on a dime. Don't be so sure. Stopping on a dime can cost a pretty penny. When I come back, I'll change your mind about braking distance. I'm Bobby Likas with a tip about fuel injectors. The manufacturer that pioneered the best fuel injector cleaning equipment also makes the best fuel injector cleaner. That company is BG Products. Professionals use BG's 44K to eliminate injector fouling. If you expect professional results, ask for a professional product. Ask your shop for BG 44K or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. Bet your bottom dollar you cannot stop on a dime. And it'll cost more than a wooden nickel if you rear-end the car while tailgating. Protect your bank account and your life by remembering the golden rule of braking. Leave at least 4 seconds of distance between you and the car ahead. Why? Under ideal conditions, perception and reaction times add up to about 2 seconds. But if you're tired, distracted, or under the influence, perception, reaction, and braking distance are dramatically increased. So forget about stopping on a dime. Instead, use your heads and don't tailgate. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
And it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Fire truck, why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
Good morning, geniuses of all kinds. Poets, you know who you are. Liberals, conservatives, whatever, who's ever listening. Good morning to you all. Mark Crispin Miller's book, Cruel and Unusual, available on our website at a discount, morningsedition.com. You can also come and blog with the kids on the blog if you want. I'm sitting here with Mark Riley, and sometimes it's not easy being a liberal. We all stray from the straight and narrow progressive path from time to time, so when I need to unburden myself, I step into the Morning Sedition confessional. Bless me, Brother Riley, I have sinned.
How can I ease your burden, my son?
Brother Riley, as you know, I brought these cats into my house.
Yeah, I heard. Everyone's heard. You're the Mia Farrow of cats.
They just seem so helpless, and I wanted to do a good thing, you know what I'm saying?
So you brought 4 stray animals into your home?
Yeah.
Did you think one of them would turn into Halle Berry or something?
No, but I didn't think they would hate me either, because they do. They hide from me, they ignore me, no gratitude, no affection, nothing, just crap and hair and attitude.
So now you want to get rid of them?
I'm a bad cat daddy, Brother Riley. I'm afraid they don't love me because I don't deserve their love.
First of all, Mark, cats are self-sufficient. Cats lick themselves. Unless you're willing to lick the hard-to-reach spots for them, I wouldn't expect too much love out of a cat.
But come on, man, I feed them and I talk to them and I give them little turkey.
Second, you're assuming the world is fair. We've talked about this before. You think that because you did a good thing, life will reward you with a good thing. Do you know that expression, no good deed goes unpunished? Well, those cats will show you some affection only when they're damn good and ready. And that might be never.
What, so I have to keep them because I...
That's your penance. These cats may have been sent here to teach you patience, persistence, and tolerance. Look at it from their angle. By taking them in, you just ended their exciting night lives.
Oh, so should I name them?
Yes, but whatever you do, don't name them Riley. And don't ask me to cat sit. Now go and sin no more. Amen.
Yeah, I got him, man. I came back. My friend Jody, who was downstairs, was feeding him. And, I still got it in my head that I'm going to come back, and they're just going to be a, yay, meow.
Yeah.
No. Now I shut him out of behind the oven. They can't go behind the oven. So now all four of them are under the couch. It's a disaster, man. Every day, you don't know the dread I'm experiencing around these cats that I've taken in. And now people are sending names in, and I just want to get rid of two of them. But now I don't know I don't even know what to do with them. I got to stop calling them feral or ferile or whatever the word is when I call these cat places to take. You know, it's getting ridiculous. And my wife is drained with the cat conversation. My mother will not have the cat conversation. Mm-hmm. Anyone I talk to, it becomes about these cats, and I don't know what to do about it. And I look at them, and they look cute, and they're all still cute, but I hate them.
Have you called North Shore yet, like we told you?
Yeah, I called North Shore. They don't want wild animals. I got to call them back.
Well, don't call them wild animals. Just say you got cats.
I got to call them back with a different voice. Hello.
Yeah. They'll discover they're wild soon enough.
I have these cute kittens.
Yes. They were accidents, and I don't know what to do with them.
Oh, my God. You know, it's like it's just another reason. You know, they keep me up, and, I guess it's better than blow. And there's a story in the papers, a book coming out by Kitty Kelly.
Yes.
She
did Frank Sinatra. Yeah, wasn't she the one that did the expose on Frank Sinatra and a bunch of other tell-all type books?
She is. These are not the greatest type of books, but there is some great information in this book, apparently coming from George W. Bush's ex-sister-in-law, who was married to the whoremongering Neil. And I'm not saying that as a judgment thing. I have plenty of friends that are whoremongers. I'm just, I'm just calling it what it is, that, Neil Bush, the whoremonger, his wife, who was no longer his wife because he was a whoremonger, is now saying that George W., Neil's, the whoremonger's brother, the drug addict, George W. Bush, the president drug addict, was actually doing some yayo at Camp David, cutting up a few lines of yayo, giving it a little taste, saying, hey, come here, hey, Barbara, Neil, come on. Not Barbara, of course. I can't see her doing well, but Laura, you want a bump? If that word wasn't said, somewhere within the area of the White House, come on, Laura, just do a little bump. I strike me down. That's what I'm saying.
Well, he says that he had not taken illegal drugs in the past 25 years. If Kitty Kelly is accurate in quoting Sharon Bush, who says, quote, Bush did coke at Camp David when his father was president, and not just once either, he got caught in a lie.
Yeah, well, he gets caught in a lot of lies. And I just, I want to make it clear that where I'm coming from with this stuff is, look, I've done drugs. We've all done drugs here, but we're
okay. Don't speak for Kalo over here. McDonald.
I'm not sure Brendan has.
See, Brendan has not.
Brendan's like he's
clean and sober.
Straight edge.
Yeah.
No, in order to be clean and sober, he will have had to have done it before. No, Brendan's just a straight dude.
Oh, he's just like chaste and sober.
Yeah, I don't know. Some people, they don't need this stuff to ruin their lives. You know what I mean? Some people get engaged. Anyways, I'm kidding.
Yeah, right.
It's all going to
be good.
We'll
talk about this after the show,
all right? It's all going to be good. But the thing is, I'm not judging a guy. I've done drugs in my life. But I just want people to know that, if you're going to forgive him for that, it's a hypocrisy on your part. This guy apparently used drugs at Camp David. This guy, was apparently AWOL from the...
National Guard.
And these should be strikes against him. And if you're willing to forgive him all these things, then, I have to question your character.
Look, the question of blow use is one that, people can go around and around about. And, at some point people can say, well, if you did it, you're a hypocrite. So, hey, I'm not president of the United States. I have no intention of ever being president of the United States. This is something that if you're talking about someone's fitness for office, you have to ask yourself, wait a minute, he was doing this at Camp David. Now, when did he have access to Camp David? Was that 25 years ago? Our survey said no.
No.
Absolutely not, because his father wasn't president 25 years ago. So,
but he was hanging around, though, wasn't he? What, 25 years
ago? You don't
ago,
hang right? around Camp David. I mean, I think he was, he had served in, I believe, in Congress, and I believe he had been CIA director by then as well.
Right.
But that was 25 years ago. And again, you don't get to hang around Camp David you know, just for laughs. You, for that, you have to kind of be part of the family.
Maybe he was bringing the blow to somebody else. maybe he was the blow guy.
Listen, could you ask Ramon the next time?
Yeah. Maybe GW was the blow guy.
It seems to, if you're talking about some of the things that are quoted in this book, and again, these are allegations contained in a book. It's called The Family, The Real Story of the Bush Dynasty. It says here, according to one former student, says George, quote, poor Georgie, he couldn't relate to women unless he was loaded. Another one says, quote, he went out of his way to act crude. It's amazing that someone you held in such low esteem later became president.
It's so screwed up because, like, there's part of me that it understands the whole blow thing. It understands the whole drug thing. But, you know, they didn't let, you know, Clinton said he didn't even inhale, which was, you know, that's sort of a ridiculous thing to say. And this guy says he hasn't used drugs in 25 years. I just wonder what people really think. I'd like to hear from you guys at 866-303-2270. I want to hear from my drug users and ex-drug users. How do you judge this president for being a drug user who lied about his drug use? Do you look at him like some sort of rock star, or do you look at him like some sort of, like, you know, heinous liar, morally corrupt person?
I got news for you.
Yeah.
This, if you look at it on the evolutionary scale, this was inevitable. The baby boom generation was the generation that got into drugs in massive, massive numbers. It should have been expected that sooner or later, someone who would aspire to the highest office in the land would have, at some point during their lives, consume something.
And you got to figure, this was during the Iran-Contra thing. The drugs they were getting must have been top-notch, dude. We're talking flaky, Peruvian, pink, crystally. I'm getting a drip. We'll be back here on Air America Radio in just a second.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
Do you forget the names of the people you met last week, even the people you met last night? How would you like to be able to walk into a room, meet 50 people or more, and recall all their names instantly? I'm America's memory master, Matthew Gerke, and I'll show you how to do it in the Memory Switch System, the fast, easy memory improvement technology for busy people who are embarrassed by their bad memory. In the Memory Switch, I'll show you how to recall names, dates, facts, figures, numbers, even business and technical data in a split second, and remember it for years. I'll show you how to lock information you see, hear, and read into your memory so you can recall it right when you need it for as long as you need it. Give me just one short hour, and I'll help you improve your memory so dramatically people will notice. Call now and try the Memory Switch risk-free for 30 days. 1-800-581-4641. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-581-4641. 1-800-581-4641.
Wouldn't it be great if you found a radio show that tells you about which beer was more likely to give you a hangover? Or which new action movie was actually a chick flick in disguise? Wouldn't it be great to know that you're not the world's most gaseous man, despite what your ball and chain tells you? And ladies, wouldn't it be great to spend a little time listening in on what your guy likes to talk about when he's out with his buddies?
Oh, yeah.
I'm Mike Church, and welcome to my world.
Mike Church, weekdays 5 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Talk Central 148.
How is your child's self-esteem? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. A healthy self-esteem doesn't mean self-centeredness or conceit. It simply means that a child has a positive view of himself, and much of a child's self-esteem comes from the home. Clinical psychologist Dr. Michael Sheehan suggests several guidelines for parents to promote self-esteem in their children. First, be sure to give your child time, attention, and unconditional love. Use fair and reasonable consequences to change problem behavior. And be sure to reward your children when you see them doing good things. For more tips on self-esteem, visit FamilyMinute.net. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Big ears. Flat feet. Bushy hair. Of all the things to pass down to your child, difficulty reading shouldn't be one of them. That's why at Family Learning Programs, parents and kids learn together so they succeed together. The classes are amazing and free. Family Learning Programs. The best way out is by coming in. Call 1-877-FAMLET-1. and pass down the greatest thing of all, a chance.
Fire truck! 866-303-2270 is the number. Morning's edition is the show. Mark Riley, Mark Maron are the hosts. I am the Yes, we are.
For now.
We're doing it. We're happening. Here's a Palm Pilot that came in earlier today from Ramon, who apparently is making him up. I'm kidding. This is the real presidential schedule. 8 o'clock a.m., wake up, stay on message. John Kerry is soft on Hurricane Francis. He would ask Europe what to do about our tropical storms. 10 a.m., call Jerry Lewis. Congratulate him on the telephone. Promise $100 million to Muscular Dystrophy Association if Jerry can deliver the vote from all of Jerry's kids. Faith-based initiative of some sort. 11 a.m., get advanced copy of Kitty Kelly's tell-all book about our family. Note, maybe it will explain where I was between 1966 and 1972. 12 noon, talk to Jeb about disaster relief for Hurricane Francis. Note, a tax cut for the wealthy and a new missile defense system could have prevented this tragedy. 2 p.m., enjoy post-convention bounce. Note, ask advisors if this means I never have to go to Ohio again. 4 p.m., send get well card to Clinton. Note, and mean it, it would be just like that weasel to ruin it for me with his funeral. 6 p.m., talk to Vladimir Putin about terrorism. Assure him that the U.S. does not support Chechen separatists. We've always supported the Chechen togetherists. 9 p.m., bedtime, think happy thought. Headline, quote, freakish Midwestern hurricane strands swing voters, end quote.
You know
what
though?
Got. What?
We're in a couple of swing states. We are now in the capital of the state of Ohio, a crucial swing state. We're on 12:30 a.m. in Columbus, Ohio.
Good morning, Columbus!
And we're also on 92.1 FM in the capital of Wisconsin, Madison. So we got some stuff going on.
Let's give them a little of this.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
20 past the hour. 20 past the hour right now. Did I mention that? It's 20. 20 past the hour. Finish brushing your teeth. I'm slacking on the time checks. It's standard radio format calling procedure protocol to throw a time check in there occasionally. Oh, 21 past.
Yep. Mark the Shark wouldn't forget this sort of thing.
That's right. I got to get on that. You know, I was doing it pretty good, and then all of a sudden when they told me to be aware of it, bam, forgot to do it. Hey, we got Vincent in New Jersey. Hey, Vincent, you know what time it is?
Hey.
It's 21 past the hour.
I'm a Christian, and I want to thank God for you guys.
Good. You're welcome.
Oh, we're going straight to hell right after this show.
What's up? What's on your mind, man?
Well, yesterday, President Bush said that the war in Iraq is right. I think it was a year ago that he had a meeting in the Vatican with Pope John Paul, a leading Christian leader, who told him the war is wrong.
Yes, yes. Absolutely, it's wrong. It's based on a lie.
And go further, it's an unjust war, which is the Pope's conclusion. Christians need to remember that, I think.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, Vincent.
You know, that's an important point.
I like the way that Vincent cleared up that the Pope was a Christian leader. Yeah, in case
there any doubts.
Know who the Pope was. He's a fairly popular Christian leader. Thank you, Vincent. Yes, it is. It's an unjust war. It's a war based on a lie, and it's a war that's taken almost 1,000 American soldiers' lives, let alone, you know, tens of thousands of Iraqis. Jim in Connecticut. How are you, Jim?
I'm excellent. How are you guys doing?
Well, pretty good. Did you know that the Pope is a Christian leader?
Man, shocking news.
Yeah,
America. Thank God for breaking that story.
Yeah, you're welcome. 22 past the hour. What can I do for you, Jim?
I did a lot of drugs. It's doing the recovery thing now.
Me too. Me too. How much time you got?
If I had any community, 10 years.
Oh, congratulations! I just had 5. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's a great path.
Anyway. Will you be my sponsor, Jim?
Hey, will you dopers cut out with the loose talk here?
If I had any comedic talent, I'd be like you.
What do you think about this?
Okay, here's the thing. I had the same kind of reaction when Clinton did the not inhale thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys, those guys probably were celebrating the drug use. I mean, I don't think Here's the thing. They're selling out, how do you say it?
It's hard to say it without saying you like Bush. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, Matt, are you kidding me? No, what I'm saying is these guys, or Bush particularly,
yeah.
I mean, if he was going to align himself with any sort of, is this weird counterculture type
right,
movement?
Right.
And now to sell it out. Look, if you didn't support Vietnam, hey, that's cool with me. I'll vote for you for now.
Right.
But to not support it and then to come out with this chicken hawk stuff, I mean, that's too much. It's like, no.
Right. Yeah, I kind of understand what you're saying.
No, I understand exactly what he's saying because it is a common thread. It's something that Mark Crispin Miller mentioned.
Yeah.
It's the same thread that would have a black Baptist choir sing at the Republican convention, and that somehow represents diversity. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a kind of, you were talking earlier, an alternate reality, a different way of perceiving the world that allows you to make these kinds of ridiculous, hypocritical leaps of faith.
All right. Well, I guess what I was trying to flesh out and what Jim sort of, was speaking to is that, Bush wants to have it both ways. He says, well, I did drugs maybe once or twice or I drank, but I'm over it now. I'm born again or whatever. But that doesn't dismiss the sort of belligerent attitude that comes with the arrogance of being a president's son or an entitled person. I've known these kind of people that sort of like, come on, let's do some blow off the presidential seal. Come on. You know that's the kind of guy he was, that he has no fundamental respect for the office of presidency. He has no respect for his father in a lot of ways. He has no respect for the American people. And I'm just trying to, in my head, capture him in the type. What is this the guy that I would have done blow with? Hell no. You know what I mean? There's just no way.
Well, you made me see, Mark Maron, that George W. Bush prosecuting this war in Iraq was not to avenge his father, not to go after Saddam Hussein because Saddam threatened to kill his father or hatched a plot, but because he wanted to show his father what he saw as the error of his father's way in not finishing.
Yeah, my dad's a wuss. Look what I did.
Yeah.
And it's like the report's coming out of Pakistan right now that they don't really know where bin Laden is. I don't think they really do because they would have had him. They would have lowered him in a cage at the Republican National Convention. It would have been like, before we bring the president on, we've got a present for you.
Here he is.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I'm starting to think that maybe Kerry should just put on his old camos and his fatigues. Put the necklace of ears on and, put a knife in between his teeth and just come out and go, who's a real veteran? Who's a real veteran? I don't know, man. Maybe that would help.
I don't know. Are we by that? That's the thing that scares me is, are we past the point where Kerry's Vietnam experience is an issue, or does that have to be laid to rest once and for all before we move on to the other stuff?
I think you should just throw it in occasionally and say that these guys who didn't serve have no right to criticize me, period. Are we taking another call? Is that okay? Terrific.
Yeah.
Jared, what time it is?
Hey.
Yeah, hey, what's up,
guys? It's 26 past the hour, Jared.
Thanks for the clue. I'm going to be work. I'm going to be late for work because of this. I've been waiting in the car to talk to you guys. I had a really good experience this past weekend. I went up to Milwaukee to campaign for Kerry.
All right.
And everybody that was decided, only one person said they were voting for Bush. So that's a positive sign. The one person that said they were decided, they said, I'm voting for Bush is a Republican, right? That's who I'm voting for. My daddy tells me. But I got to tell you this. I worked on one person who was undecided.
Yeah.
And I worked with him for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Long story short, she didn't like Kerry. She didn't like Bush. But when I told her the story about General Shinseki, how it wasn't a miscalculation, that it was just stupidity. It's like these people function like the Flat Earth Society. They decide what the truth is first, and they work backwards.
Right.
The look on her face was priceless. You guys got to get General Shinseki on, or anybody associated, or tell Dead Air Al every day to mention Shinseki. No one knows about it. And I'm telling you, people who are undecided, they're going to hear that story. And there were people in the Kerry office that didn't know about Shinseki.
Huh.
And the thing is, it's like I feel like I got one vote when I went up there, that I didn't waste my time. And it was a really good experience. You guys, if you have to say Shinseki every single day, 10 times a day, and tell the damn story to everyone,
right,
I'm telling you, you can make a difference.
Well, let's tell the story real quick now. And the story is that Shinseki was the one who said that there really had to be a significant a commitment of ground troops to the war in Iraq, that the war would not be won without that substantial commitment of troops. Donald Rumsfeld essentially blew him out, said, look, we don't want to hear that, because Rumsfeld and the neocons have always felt, and by the way, they had a plan to create a new way of warfare that involved a much less significant commitment of troops. They ran Shinseki out, and it turned out he was absolutely right.
There you go, Jared, and we'll hit it again later. Jared gets, he was getting worked up. Just keep your eyes on the road, dude. 28 past the hour.
Coming up, playwright Brian Dykstra, the liberal agenda, the presidential daily briefing, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
It pays to be a political contributor. According to United for a Fair Economy, CEOs of the 69 companies that sponsored this summer's Democratic and Republican national conventions saw their pay increase by 52% in 2003. Also, the 38 CEOs who have personally raised at least $100,000 for either Bush or Kerry earned on average $15.2 million in 2003, 88% more than the average large company CEO. This has been a Wendell Bob. I'm Jesse Russell.
This Dow Bob Report brought to you by the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Analysts say millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks to ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. The death toll continues to rise in Iraq, with a dozen American losses reported in the last 48 hours. Bush administration continues to spend billions to contain the situation in the strife-torn nation, but to no avail. Israeli helicopters have attacked a Hamas training field in Gaza City early today. At least 145 militants have been killed and wounded, some 30 others, in one of the deadliest airstrikes of militants in 4 years of violence. The attack came a week after Hamas suicide bombers blew up two buses in the Israeli city of Beersheba, killing 16. Filmmaker Michael Moore says he won't submit Fahrenheit 9/11 for consideration as the best documentary at this year's Academy Awards. Instead, he's going for the bigger prize, Best Picture. Moore's film slams President Bush and his administration. He says the best award he could receive is Bush being voted out of office come November. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Sirius is giving away a Larson Senza sport boat.
No purchase necessary.
It's awesome!
Must be 18 or older to enter.
Hey, can I sell them?
Valid in the 48 contiguous states.
It even comes with Sirius.
It's online at 11:59 p.m. Eastern.
It's really cool!
On September 30th, 04.
Can I get a word in?
For official rules, see Sirius.com/Larson or select Larson dealer.
Bow, summer, water, fun!
Void where prohibited.
Are you done?
Yes.
Good! Why don't you get out so I can see how fast we're going?
Hi, this is Bobby Lodges with today's Car Clinic Minute. Building Pinewood Derby cars is a quick way kids learn about racing and engineering. But the future of these blocks of wood is fast and furious. When I come back, I'll give you the formula for fun.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to RoyalPurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and RoyalPurple.com today.
Even Vin Diesel and Tyrese can't keep up with the next wave of the Fast and Furious. I've coined them Generation F for the Formula One cars that boys and girls worldwide will be designing during the CO2 Formula One Championship. In this competition, teams of 3 to 6 students model their F1 car entry using computer-aided design software, then machine it out of a solid block of balsa wood. Add a CO2 power plant, then let the games begin. For details on this fast fun with learning for a lifetime, visit f1inschools.us. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Royal Purple Synthetic Oil, the performance oil that outperforms.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
This morning's tradition, I'm Mark Maron. It's Mark Riley.
Hi.
I'm going to introduce our guests in a second, but this call intrigues me. Kalo, let me have Kevin. He's the one blinking. Kevin, what's up with the what?
What's up, Kev?
Kevin from D.C.?
Yes, sir. You?
That's me, man. I just got to resolve your cat issue for
okay.
you.
Okay.
I'm somebody who takes care of 37 feral cats.
Yeah?
Wow. 16 of them in my house. Listen, man, it's not like a computer that you update or a car that you trade in. This is a lifelong commitment you've made, so relax. They will come around. I mean, it may take a while, but you can't push it. The more you push it, the more they're going to, like, retreat from you. So let them do it on their own.
So I should stop crying and going, why? Why?
Exactly.
All right.
And you know, if, assuming that there's no such thing as an altruistic act, at least feel good about the fact that you got them off the street. Now, the next thing you got to do is find their mama and get her fixed.
I know. I got to get a trap. I'm going to call the lady today.
I thought one of your neighbors got the mother already.
No. There's one more kitten out there, and there's a mother and someone. I'm involved in a circuit of women that have taken it upon themselves to. You know, I'm going to get a trap for that, Kevin. Thanks. All right.
All right, Kevin.
Now, I'm sorry, our guests are sitting here going, what kind of show is this? I thought this was a political show of some kind. He's a star of a new one-man show called Brian Dykstra, Cornered and Alone. It's playing at the Triad on 158 West 72nd Street, New York City, on Tuesdays and Thursdays through the election. To buy tickets, you can call Ticketmania at 212-352-3101. Please welcome to the show, Brian Dykstra. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm still trying to diagram circuit of women and how that works.
Oh no, there's a lot of people and most of them women I'm finding and I'm not you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That literally you know reach out to cats and people who want to save cats.
So this is no tactic on your part.
No, it's okay. No tactic. I literally had these cats and I was freaking out and then every time I go to a pet store or try to do investigation or go to websites, I always seem to be talking to a woman who's like, oh okay, let me try and help you out. So I've got this woman Nan who's going to call me. I got to call her today about this trap. Anyways, you, sir,
yeah.
What did you think of the Republican convention?
Well, it was rough. It was really rough. I sort of decided that it would be part of my job to watch the whole thing.
Yeah. Us too.
Yeah.
It was rough.
Oh, man, it was rough. You know, it felt like a Nuremberg rally. You know,
yeah.
It was a war rally.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess if you can scare some of the people all of the time, they'll keep voting for
it. Did you get worked up, though? Do you bring it on stage with you?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem with doing topical stuff is something happens, like a convention, and you're like, well, okay, I better bring it in.
You got to rewrite everything.
I had to rewrite a bunch of stuff this week.
What is the show about?
It's about George and the boys.
Yeah. That's the whole thing?
Yeah.
It's basically your reaction?
I mean, it started as this idea. I had this idea that I was going to, this brilliant idea of mine, I was going to deconstruct the one-man show form,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, works for about 18 minutes. And then when it stopped working, I'm like, all right, well, what do I really want to talk about? And at this point in history, there's really one thing to talk about.
It's all there is to talk about. So, but where did it come from? Were you seething with rage? When you say deconstruct the one-man show thing, that you were going to turn it in on itself and sort of mock the idea of a one-man show?
Yeah.
And that became too heady?
Well, I mean, it's like the joke's over. You know, you touch on Leguizamo and you touch on a little performance art. You threaten to take off your clothes, and after that, you're just like, hey, those laughs are
fine. Oh, I get what you're saying. So you were going to mock the one-man show format, and then
yeah.
you realize, well, why waste the stage time? There might be something to say here.
Well, it seemed like there's a responsibility at this time.
Now, is it true that you read the Declaration of Independence?
I do read it.
And you read it in its entirety?
No, there are a couple of grievances at the end there that talk about the Indian savages that just didn't seem to...
drop that. That didn't
well,
make the cut.
Well, I mean, it didn't relate. There was
yeah.
no, you know, there's nothing today. So, no, but most of it.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable. I mean, we were looking for a title, and my director said, look at this. And I was reading it, and she actually was reading it and crying, and she gave it to me, and I'm reading it. I'm like, I can't, this is unbelievable. I mean, it's so perfect.
Cool.
Everything that they were complaining about George III doing,
right.
George W. is doing.
So you were able to find Cornered and Alone in the Declaration of Independence?
No.
Oh. Your show's called Cornered and Alone.
Well,
right?
We didn't find the title, but we were
okay.
looking.
All right. I don't remember coming apart at that point. We're so cornered and alone here. Now, how do you approach, what are you talking about exactly? Like, where does the show start? You got a slice of it?
Well, you mean do a slice of it?
Yeah, we'll do a slice after. You want
to? Okay, sure. I'll probably pull something out.
Now, before we go and do that, what do you find? How's the audiences? Are they coming out?
Yeah. Well, they were coming out until the convention.
Yeah.
And then people would call and say, I'm too scared to leave my apartment. So, you know, thank them for that.
So now they're coming back around?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be back with Brian Dykstra. He'll give us a taste of the one-person show, Cornered and Alone, which I can relate to. I feel cornered and alone right now, oddly. We'll be back on Air America Radio in just a second.
This is Sirius Satellite Radio.
Hi, can you tell me which NFL games you're carrying this week?
We carry every single game, sir.
No, I'm serious. Which games do you carry?
No, we're serious, and we carry every NFL game every week.
Patriots?
You got it.
The Giants?
You're covered.
And Dallas?
Absolutely.
This is so cool.
The regular season's on. Every NFL game, every week, everywhere. Exclusively on Sirius NFL Radio. For the full game broadcast schedule, go to Sirius.com.
Your voice sounds familiar.
Do your children like to hug each other? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. In our home, we hug our kids a lot, but have noticed that our children don't hug each other very much. One of our kids loves to hug. The others act like it's no big deal. But hugging with frequency and sincerity is food for the soul. So guess what? We're teaching our kids how to hug each other. First, a hug has to be a full embrace. One arm, half-hearted hugs don't count. Second, it has to be at least 10 seconds to be a good one. Sure, you're going to get some moans, groans, and eye rolls, but maybe after they've hugged enough, it will become a cherished habit. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose. A whole big deal.
My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
Uh-huh. I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
What's up, y'all? This is Jay Burke.
Yo, this is Raz B.
Yo, what's up? This is Lil Fizz.
Yo, what up, Omarion?
And what up, B2K?
Right now, we working in the studio.
And that's a lot of work. When we go on tour, we perform live.
We have to know our dance routines, words to the songs, music.
And we have to be on point every time. Our music is pretty energetic.
I mean, it's a real hard job.
We can't look sloppy on stage. That's why we don't have time for drugs.
You want to get somewhere? Forget about drugs.
A message from Partnership for Drug Free America and MAP.
Visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Fire truck! It's Morning Sedition. Mark Maron and Mark Riley are here. Brian Dykstra is here. His one-man show is Cornered and Alone. It's at the Triad in 158 West 72nd Street. You can get tickets at 212-352-3101. So you use a lot of what they call slam poetry.
Yeah, there's a bit of it.
Yeah? And is slam poetry, is that the competitive term? Is it called slam because of the poetry slam? Because of that, it comes out of the sort of like competitive element of poetry?
I guess that's where they got slam. I mean, it's really spoken word, and then they started having poetry slams, which were competitions, and then all of a sudden slam poetry became, I guess, synonymous with spoken word.
Okay, so we're going to do some slam poetry in just a second. Let me do this right now, though. Now it's time to look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, that highly classified, top-secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled, Democratic Scheming Closes Empathy Gap. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that former President Bill Clinton has undergone coronary bypass surgery. Ordinarily, this would be a cause for celebration. But in the case of Clinton, these allegedly clogged arteries could be a devious gambit to siphon off votes from your campaign. Earlier this year, this attention-starved villain ran unchecked around the country promoting his slanderous autobiography. And now that that offensive is losing strength, he has chosen to have a headline-stealing medical procedure right in the middle of a campaign season. He is also reportedly giving Kerry campaign advice from his sickbed. Our operatives inform us that Clinton is telling Kerry to come down with various sympathy-inducing ailments, especially in swing states, acid reflux in Wisconsin, shingles in Florida, kidney stones in Ohio. It's just this kind of evil scheme that could cost you the election. To counter this offensive, we suggest you develop prostate trouble in New Hampshire. People will really relate to that up there. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. All right, so Brian, let's. You want to hit a little slam poetry?
I'll dive in, but I'm going to stop before the swearing.
Good.
Let's hear it. Not with this end of days, friend of crazy ways and means that screams or scary harebrained schemes of ruthless, naked, sacred, imagined truth that leads to devastation, taking literal the poetry of revelation as they pray to graven images of pipelines spewing the sewage of gifted contracts and shifted contacts to plunder the underside of pathetic, prophetic, stunted biblical prophecies fronted in order to lead the bleeding atrocities we visit on the world with satanic fanaticism using bruising and broken Iraqi backs with sad lies and blind eyes that, congratulations, the black hats are back on us with these freedom lies made clear with fear who gets to play the bad guys in this little psychodrama. If the cyclorama of your outdated prophecies say the Middle East, then what beastly man with an Armageddon plan won't agree he's got a free pass to tip his glass and rip his ass and kickstart the whore of wars, kick
I like that part.
I'm not going to keep going.
What, did you hit a cuss word and you forgot about?
Yeah.
I've done that on television before. Where you're like, I'll just do that bit, and you're like going, you're like, oh no, now I've got to look silly.
And I got the whore, and that was, and I went, nah, we're after whore, that's not going to work.
All right, fine. Wow, that's weird. I found myself trying to find a beat I could dance to.
Yeah,
I was almost in it.
That's an earlier piece.
It's kind of like a little Chuck D kind of thing. Who comes on at 9 o'clock?
Well, I guess slam poetry has a certain element of that. Like, I've seen poetry contests before, and it's sort of like, it's sort of this sort of rap beatnik hybrid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing that?
Well, I remember doing a sort of version of it back in college in, like, the 80s.
Back when we all thought we were, you know, liberal arts majors and we thought we were poets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that. But I don't remember. I get it's sort of Ginsbergian.
Right. I mean, there was a lot of internal rhyme in the 50s. And, I mean, I saw Ginsberg a couple of times. I saw Bukowski Reed. And they sort of had that sort of, you know, the drone that's,
sure.
that's from that era.
Alliterative drone.
Right.
Yeah.
But then the sort of internal rhyme thing became so popular like 10 years ago or when rap decided to.
Sure. And it's weird. I was a big fan of poetry. I used to write. I edited the English Journal. So I was really sort of committed to the language of it. And I had sort of a soft spot in my heart for it.
Well, me too, because my younger brother has done a lot of music and poetry over the years.
Yeah. It's weird that the poets, like in other countries, it's like the poets provoked the revolution. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And here the poets are sort of like, no, he's a poet.
Right.
But within hip hop culture and slam poetry culture, it does have a certain resonance and it does provoke some serious.
It's also easier to take some of that stuff. You know, you get enough rhyme in there. People are like, I don't feel preached at as much as you know.
Yeah, and also you can hear things in a new way. It sort of blossoms. I mean, Dylan was really great at that, at turning a phrase and making things new. Have you ever done Russell Simmons' show or any of those shows?
Nope.
Well, you
know, come on, Russell, listen up.
The guest here is Brian Dykstra, his show Cornered and Alone, which has a sort of improvisational reading of the Declaration of Independence in some respects.
Okay.
I'll read it. I'll put on any given night. Do you have reactions to it and riff a little bit?
Yeah.
And some slam poetry and some political speculation and reactionary politics, yes?
I'll go with reactionary politics.
But, yeah, all right. Brian Dykstra, the show is Cornered and Alone at the Triad Theater. Tickets, 212-352-3101. We'll be right back to land this thing here on Air America Radio. Oh, I'm sorry. I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog, too.
Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich. I'm a filmmaker and a citizen, not a politician. I believe passionately in the freedom of expression, an idea that is increasingly threatened by today's administration. Films play an important role in bringing social issues to the public, yet fewer films receive distribution today, especially those expressing an alternative point of view. Seven conglomerates now control which films you get to see. Film Movement and Air America Radio are trying to change all that. Subscribe to Film Movement at AirAmericaRadio.com and receive a new, first-run film to own on DVD each month. Award-winning films with strong social messages. Important films such as Falling Angels with Miranda Richardson about the American family in the 1960s and The Party's Over about the state of democracy in America. These films are exclusively available through Film Movement. We thank you for your support in our mission to bring alternative voices in film to America. Please visit AirAmericaRadio.com and help make a difference.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Bendy with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
What was your name again? Barry?
Johnson.
Barry Johnson.
Yeah.
The U.S. Postal Service wants to remind everyone this year to protect themselves from becoming victims of identity theft. Your personal information is a gold mine for identity thieves. Identity theft is taking key pieces of someone's personal information, such as a name, address, or social security number, in order to impersonate them. For more information, log on to consumer.gov. A message from the U.S. Postal Service.
Why don't they talk about the issue? We're fighting for our lives here.
Hey, Riley, ask me what time it is.
What time is it, Mark?
50 past the hour.
Yo!
50 past the hour, coming up on 51 past the hour.
Come up on it.
I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley. The show is Morning's Edition, the network is Air America Radio. We've got a caller on the line, Mike in New Jersey. How are you, Mike?
What's up, Mike?
Good morning, gentlemen. It's always good to talk to you guys.
Thanks.
A couple of things. First of all, Mr. Bush forgot to mention a new policy that his administration has just implemented, a 17% increase in the Medicare premium.
Right, right. Yeah, we got
we had that story. We hadn't gotten to it. I'm glad you brought it up, though.
And what else?
One other thing. He's got a new policy on job outsourcing. It's called No Job Left Behind.
Oh, all right, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Nice work, Mike. Yeah, it's a record, you know, the 17% increase in Medicare.
And this
Medicare
is a guy. Premium. This is a guy that said he was going to keep it down. He's going to keep insurance down. He's going. Now it's really turning out that this was just a big payoff to the HMOs, to people, pharmaceutical companies.
He just got finished promising lower costs last Thursday night.
17% increase.
$11.60 a month starting next year.
Oh, look who's calling! Now we haven't heard from this guy in a while. It's William from Chappaqua. How are you, William?
Hey,
you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah, we can hear you doing okay.
I think so. I'm hanging in there.
So what have you been, you in any pain or?
No, I'm just feeling very blessed this morning. Just trying to take it easy and hope Bill doesn't show up.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but it looks like Bill's on the line. How are you, Bill? How you feeling?
Buddy.
Hey, how's it going in the hospital, all right?
Oh, my arteries are clean and I'm not wearing pants. That's all I'm saying. I got on a skirt with no underpants. And I'm a little slow, but hey, don't let it fool you. I couldn't be better.
So,
Bill, I'm telling you, we got to change our ways. This is a warning. We got to change. Yeah, I agree with that, man. We got to escalate. We took the car back in the shop, and now it goes real fast. You know what I mean? Come on, baby.
The inner struggle of the ex-president.
Don't you ever learn? Are you trying to get me killed? I don't want you to die. I want you to finally live, man. I have to open my heart. Don't you understand?
You guys, you're getting all worked up.
Come on now. You're clean and ready to run. You're a mean machine now. Call for the nerve. Oh, yeah, call for the nerve.
Calm down.
I like the way you think, baby. We're finally on the same page.
Oh, that was a close one. Wow. You okay?
Hillary? I'll be all right. I may need some more morphine drip.
Well, it was great talking to you. We'll try and check in with you later in the week. That was President Clinton, both sides of him.
Both sides.
Wow, that was kind of scary. It escalated. It's a scary sound. I got to go to the doctor. When was the last time you got a checkup, Riley?
About a year ago.
So it's about time, huh?
Yeah, and I got to go. I'm at that age, that tender young age, where I have to go for the colonoscopy.
We have to go there. I should have known that. If I was going to ask Ryan when the last time he had a checkup was, we'd end up in his arch.
The last time I went, the doctor said to me, next time you come here, we're going to have to get that colonoscopy appointment done.
Oh, that's
so that's why I haven't been back.
That's not just the glove. That's the machine.
That's the machine, yeah.
I told you what happened the last time I went, and that the Asian doctor, not that that makes any difference. He was a guy, I never met the guy before, right? And I go in because I had the coverage on my SAG, and I had to get the prostate exam. And, he does it, and he's got his, his hand or his finger, not the hand, he didn't have his whole hand up there, but he's got his finger up there. And, there's that moment where you're like, whoa, okay, that's, as Kayla would say, that happened. And during it, I'm like uncomfortable, but I go, is everything all right? He goes, yeah, it's smooth. I'm like, it's smooth. But he said it in that way that was sort of a little inappropriate. Smooth.
Well, when I had it done, I had to go through,
doing this.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
I had to go through the, African American men's prostates are a little bit bigger than white men.
Come on.
I swear to God.
So it's true.
that's what I said.
I've always heard that. That's a bigger prostate. Who said that? The doctor?
Yeah. He said African American men tend to have slightly larger prostates than white men.
Now, I don't want to be prejudiced. Is the white guy or black guy?
No, it's a Jewish guy.
A Jewish guy.
Dr. Shapiro.
Of course. They just look in envy at your prostate.
Yeah, I know. But hey, they said next trip, colonoscopy. So I got to go soon.
So again, I want to thank the people who came down from Portland to Seattle to see me perform. We had a nice time up there. I'm sorry I missed the town hall thing. I hear Janine did great and Liz did great, and I hope it was fun. What else am I going to say? We got new affiliates. Welcome aboard Madison, Wisconsin, Columbus, Ohio. I'd like to say hi to Albuquerque, New Mexico, my hometown, who is now has us in their head.
And don't forget Boulder.
Boulder, too, is in the great, under the umbrella of Air America Radio.
Growing every day.
Yeah, it's good fun, man. It's good fun. I'm glad everybody's hanging out and listening.
Well, see, hopefully we will get the message out to folks who are hearing nothing but right-wing drivel in their hometowns, and maybe now they'll start to think a little bit about why we are the way we are, and maybe when they get in that voting booth, they won't do the first thing that came to their mind. You know what I'm saying?
That's right, Mark Riley. I want to mention that my show, Al Franken Dead Air, premieres on the Sundance Channel. I'm kidding. Franken's going to... We're going to do a tag team here. I'm going to do the voice, and Ken's going to do the laugh. I'm going to be on television tonight. I think it's going to go pretty good. And Catherine's going to be there, of course. And Jerry Garcia is going to be there. And...
By the agenda. Here we go. Write these down. This is from the Streisand compound, the liberal agenda for today.
Word changes. For Republicans, say Nazi. For convention, say Nuremberg. For police, say stormtroopers. Two, blame Hurricane Francis on neocons. Call it the most elaborate scheme yet for fixing the boats in Florida. Three, blame Clinton's clogged arteries on neocons. Call it the most elaborate scheme yet for fixing Democrats. Four, help your child write essay. Change title from What I Did This Summer to How the Bush Smear Machine Undermines Democracy in Latin America. Five, today's phrase, drop it into conversation. Quote, this scar, I got that baby on 7th and 21st. Took three cops to drag me away. Yeah, it was on CNN. That was me. End quote. All right, go ahead.
Time to land the plane. Coming out tomorrow's morning edition, we'll take a hard look at the rise of terrorism in one of America's toughest allies, Russia. That's tomorrow's morning edition here on Air America Radio. See you, Marin.
All right, Riley.